The show is brought to you by Onnit.com. Go to Onnit.com and use code word church to get 10% off of all the great optimization.
Excuse me, between you and I, it's bullshit that kills you at the end of the day.
Yeah.
It's those beers that kill you. That new homebrew and all that you drink right away, that's better for you.
Yeah.
But that red shit right there, that's what God invented. Those are grapes, cocksucker. Yeah. Hit it, Lee.
All right. You're still at Onnit.com using code word church to get 10% off all their good optimization products. Go to irondragontv.com and use code word Joey to get 2 free rentals of all the great martial art movies. They have Onnit Lab videos. They're the leader in 4K technology. It's code word Joey to get 2 free rentals. Go to hitesigs.com and use code word Joey's Church. And they're running a pick 5 campaign. So you get 5 e-cigs, $50. Use code word Joey's Church. And what's up, buddy? Go to nailedlife.com, also losgumishermanos.com, and check out the premier vapor pen on the market for the oil and wax smokers. Use code word Joey Diaz to get 20% off.
Good job. That was a good job.
Good read, cocksucker. Drop it on these bastards. Memorial Day for you fucking soldiers. Here you go, cocksuckers. Marines, Navies, Air Force. Fucking who like the Marines, Navy, Coast Air Guard. Force, the Coast Army. Guard, the Army. We love you, cocksuckers, on the church. Put that on loudly. I'm going to break that fucking mixer. Kick it, Lee.
Oh, louder in my house, Lee. Nice.
Lee, what am
Come
I doing?
Yeah, seriously.
Lee, loud.
There we go. Get
that type of party, people. Like a black cat do. Nobody drops it like that.
I like when it goes double time in a second. Crank it up, Lee. Where are you going? Here we go. This reminds me of getting in a Camaro, driving through the woods in Florida.
Like you just smacked a woman.
Yep.
You're just about to fucking take over.
I just got jeans on and moccasins, no shirt. Hair flying through. I'm like, hey man, pass me a butt. Sure thing, B-Man. Mr. Saturday
Night Special. Oh shit. Church coming at you real as can be, cocksucker.
This is a Jacksonville band right here.
Nothing. Here you go. What's the story, you bad motherfuckers? Happy Memorial Day, late night podcast with Felice Ayat, the Flying Jew, Bert Kreischer, and my main man, Tom Segura. Don't ask how this came together. It just came together. That's the way it's supposed to happen, very generically. What's happening, gentlemen?
Chilling, dog.
What's going on in your world, baby?
I'm doing better now that I'm with you, because I went on the fucking stairs and hung out in the stairwell with you.
We did
the
beautiful Periscope.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
I love Periscope.
Fucking the future.
How many of these have you had today?
I mean, none. Well, you none. I'm not eating any Goomies.
You got to eat half of this with the wine. It goes fucking perfecto.
He's 4 or 5 deep.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm gonna eat half of this 3/4.
You know, I went to Joey's store with. Why are you doing more of that? Joey, I'm not eating it, buddy.
Piece. That's
no.
Like 10 milligrams.
Joey.
You got to put a little pep in your step.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
No.
Get loose.
Put a little pep in your step.
Guys, you Trip Flip Airs on Travel Channel June 2nd at 8 p.m. Double premiere episode.
If you don't eat it, Lee will have to eat it.
Lee. I've only had 1.5.
Who gives a fuck?
Who cares?
You can't walk on one leg. Who walks around with a leg and a half? Nobody.
Come on, flying Jew. There it is, right? Give it, give it, give it, give it.
We'll split it. Okay, there you go.
You didn't split any of it.
Fucking guy. Oh. Had a great time in Las Vegas last weekend. If you came to the South Point Casino, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. That was an easy weekend. Fucking great time. What I was telling you was that 1983, I was walking past the window one day. I was doing laundry on the Lord's Day. Minding my own fucking business. Not bombing. Just doing laundry. Football was on. I wasn't in the mood. I was living in Snowmass Village, and I was in Creekside Apartments, and I'm walking, and I look at this window as I'm walking by, and the window's open, but there's a screen in front of it, but the door's right there.
Yeah.
All I have to do is stick my hand, rip the screen off, stick my hand, and I got this fucking fool's paradise. I knew the guy. I saw him early up at the fucking bar up at the Mexican place, and I knew there was some type of drugs in his house.
Yeah.
So I stuck my hand in there, went in. I got a chunk of hash. I got some jewelry. I got like $1,500 in a rubber band, and I got a couple grams of blow, you know, loose blow, a gram here, an 8-ball here.
Miscellaneous blow.
Miscellaneous blow, and I just put it together. And I ran out and I went home and I buried the 15 grand. Yeah. And I took the jewelry and I put it in one of those safes. My buddy was a property manager those days for some property management company. And I went to condos that were under construction.
Yeah.
And I would put all the stolen loot in the safes when we'd have the combination. That's the only way I got away with all that shit. Yeah. So they came to my house. There was nothing in my house. The blow I kept, that was going down. And the hash, I had a little spot under the closet where I had ripped up the carpet. And with a knife, I picked up the wood. It was like my little... I always, since I was a kid, I was always one of those creepy dudes that wanted to be James Bond.
Yeah, yeah.
I loved picking up floorboards. Yeah. I loved picking up floorboards and digging it out. I love all that crazy shit. To me, that was the easiest heist of my life, December 18th, 1983. I remember I called my buddy to say, hey, I'm sending you a package tomorrow. Look out for a chunk of half and some jewelry. Move the jewelry and we'll split it 50-50. It was like a ton of jewelry.
Yeah.
And he goes, it's my birthday. I go, okay. And I made a mental note. So now every year, December 18th, I call him on his birthday because of that robbery. My point is Vegas was easier than that. Wait. That's how much of a good time I had in Vegas. What?
Did you say you buried bury it in the ground? You buried money?
No, there was a closet that people in the building could put their skis and shit.
Oh.
And you had to have a couple keys for it. And yeah. I went in there and I fucking dug something out in the corner. You couldn't see it unless you were professional. There was no way you could see it.
Yeah.
And I put it in there. And that's where I kept the 15 grand until I went back to Jersey in 84.
Now, is this about the same time you went to Miami?
Oh, we were talking about Miami before. I was talking about, you know, like you're given this illusion. When you're 19, 20, that there's stuff going on. There's always stuff going on. You know, oh, my God, it sucks here.
Yeah.
I heard that.
Where's the party at?
Yeah. The party's in Texas. I heard my friend went. He said that he made out with 8 chicks, and he got 6 blowjobs, and chicks were topless, and your head almost explodes. And that's a fucking bullshit story. That's, you know. But in your mind, then you see the Budweiser commercials, and they're partying. And well, it wasn't as crazy as it is now. Like, the commercials, and the craziest commercials were Rodney. You know, remember those commercials for Miller Lite? Those were fucking classic. But it wasn't, you had this illusion that you were going to go out. So I grew up in New York City. So when I was like 20, my friend said, hey, man, my buddy's a bartending in Studio 54. My head almost exploded. He goes, I'll get you in tonight. I go, let's go. You know, it was like 80 fucking two. The party was over then.
Yeah.
But to just go in there. And I went in there expecting to see like people giving blowjobs. No, it wasn't like that. It was just people being free. So my friend said to me at one point, you want to get high? Yeah. Let's go into the woman's bathroom. And you were a man. And here you were in the woman's bathroom because it was like the main room. You ever go to the back of the main room? They have at the Comedy Store, they have those booths with mirrors with those big bulbs around them. At Studio 54, they had 50 of those in a row.
Really?
So people would go in there with their cocktail, smoke, and do coke where the women are supposed to be putting makeup on. They weren't actually in the bathroom where women were pissing. They would sit there. You follow me?
Yeah.
When you went to tables, people were doing blow. But I went there like 3 times, and I thought that that was it. That was the perfect fucking club. Even though I didn't get my dick sucked, even though nobody talked to me, I didn't get one woman to talk to me. I didn't dance with anybody. Like, that was the utopia. You know, that was it. But I always thought, like, oh, my God, I'm going to Colorado. When I went to Colorado, that was the worst nightlife in the fucking world.
Really?
And I got to tell you something. When I went to all these cities, like, compared to what I grew up with, nothing is fucking – I had never seen anything. You know, I don't want to go see a fucking cover band at a bar. I'm too old, guy. I'm not going to sit there and listen to Brown Sugar. That's not happening in my fucking world.
Yeah.
But there was one place I went to in 1984 that was crazy, and it was Coconut Grove, Florida, where the Improv is today.
It's gone now.
When cocaine was huge.
Oh, sorry.
That place was something I'd never seen before.
Really?
I went to visit my family, and my cousin said, we're going out. We went to like the Pink Parrot, one of those. And that was where I saw fucking, if 400 people were in there, everybody was on blow. Like, everybody was on blow. Everybody wanted to be on Miami Vice. It was right after Scarface. Everybody
wanted to be on Miami Vice.
They probably dressed like it and shit, right?
Listen,
like,
brother, in between Scarface and Miami Vice.
Yeah.
You have no idea what was happening.
Really?
You just have no idea.
I was in Florida. I don't remember Scarface coming out, but I do remember Miami Vice. I remember, like, Ron Bennington was a big, he was a big deal around that time in Florida.
Ronnie B?
Ronnie B was a DJ in Tampa.
Who's Ron Bennington?
He does, you know,
Ron and Fez radio show.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
He's tremendous. You'd love him.
Joey, you'd love him. You'd love him.
I know them.
Yeah.
Okay. Where are they now?
They're in New York.
Ron Bennington's in New York. Ron Perez is, I think, in Tampa or Miami. Can you turn the bass down in my voice? Sounds a little tinny.
Bring that beat back.
You son of a bitch.
But Ronnie B, like those big cigarette boats and cut-off shirts like Hulk Hogan used to wear.
Florida's maniacs, dude. It's a crazy state.
It's really crazy.
It's a really crazy state. And it's one of the, like, it's like Nevada in the sense that, like, if you fuck off, if you want to be like, fuck off society, I'm kind of like, I do shit on, I bend a lot of rules. I'm kind of a fucking asshole. Like, it's a great state to thrive in, you know?
Yeah.
Like, there's so many, the most scumbags I've ever met in my life was living in Florida.
Really?
Yeah, for sure. So many fucking scumbags.
A lot of racists.
A lot of racists.
Yeah. A lot of everything.
Yeah, a lot of everything.
There's a lot of everything.
It's a big, high population.
It's a pirate state. It's been fucking getting mauled on since God knows when.
Yeah.
You know, Columbus was down there. I mean, it's just... Jesus was down there. Everybody's been down there.
No state income tax.
Jackie Gleason was down there. It's just one of those places. And for me, and I'm not saying this in a negative way, anything above like West Palm Beach, I don't click. To me, it's very, it's very more a little, it's in between Southern and something else.
Like, yeah,
I went to Jacksonville.
Good.
They didn't dig me. I went to that Mandarin Inn one time. All the seafood you could eat Friday night.
Oh, then it's still good old boy.
Then
like
you
a
shit
Ocala.
Blood till, yeah. Ocala, I've never really been to.
That's not your world.
Tampa.
Sure.
Live Oak.
I didn't do good in Tampa. You know, it's just,
really?
I was surprised about that.
I would think.
A lot of Cubans in Tampa. Great fucking city. Great food. Just sensational food.
Yeah.
Just a great blend of food. A lot of New Yorkers with flavor. A lot of Cuban food. A lot of Latin fucking good cheeseburgers. But I think, like, the only city, I'm going to tell you something, guys. There's only been two cities in my life where I thought I was going to die. I came close to dying.
Where's that?
One is Florida, Miami.
Yeah.
And the other one, I think, is Houston, Texas one night.
That's a savage
that's
city,
a real
too.
Motherfucking city.
Yeah, right?
Houston, Texas, before or after the hurricane?
Because
after Katrina, Houston got real fucking wild.
Yeah, it got crazy.
It got real crazy.
When was Katrina?
2005, I think, right?
No, this is 2003, 2002. I was going crazy on my own down there.
Yeah.
It was a great club, that Laugh Stop.
I used to love the Laugh Stop. I went there after it changed over. No, I went there after Babbitt. Yeah, I was there with Pete.
Pete was a great guy.
I loved Pete.
Pete had his little fucking problem. I love Pete. Pete just came to see me in Houston.
Are you serious?
I'm still tight with Pete. I'll talk to Pete once every 16 days. By the way, Danny Murr died.
Who?
Yeah,
Danny Murr died.
Old Tempe Improv?
Really? What a fucking shame, yeah.
How did he die? You know, I haven't heard.
No, nobody said told me.
And you know where?
Chicago. It wasn't good, guys. He called me about a year and a half ago for a reference to try to get a manager's job at the Chicago Laugh Factory. That's the last time. He said he was living with his brother. He took the money the club gave him. They robbed him. He lost his condo.
Fuck, man.
It was like fucking A to Z. It was like God. He fucking did a lot of creepy things down there, man. Rest in peace, you know. He was good to me.
Yeah. A lot of creepy things. Rest in peace.
The best eulogy ever.
He did a lot of creepy things. It wasn't good. Rest in peace.
Yeah, he was a creepy
he
fuck.
He was living with his brother.
Poor guy.
If you said that at the memorial service, I would die.
He did a lot of creepy things. Rest in peace.
Rest in peace. He's a real piece of shit. Rest in peace.
I never could tell if his hair was his. Rest in peace.
Doc, don't you ever, go to a funeral and the guy's talking, like they give a memorial in the back of your head, you're like, this is such a bullshit. Last time I saw this guy was doing blow off a stripper's ankle.
Yeah.
And this kid, he's a loving father, sure. You should have seen him that night. How much he loved this kid when he had his tongue up that fucking yam's fucking asshole with coke on it. All those loving fathers, they always are the dirtiest motherfuckers in the world. Dirtiest motherfuckers in the world.
I went into the Tempe Improv one time, and Gary Valentine and Then a bunch of comics told me you got to party with Dan Murr. And I was like, okay. So I get there. I was when we used to tour with, what's the name? And, we get there and we sit down. And I say to Dan, hey, I'm not drinking tonight, but I want to get down. I want to party with you. And he's like, yeah. He's like, I was like, Gary and Kevin James, all these guys said you're really fun to party with. He goes, don't worry, it'll happen. I was like, yeah. It's like Friday night, Thursday night, Friday night. He's like, ah, I'm not going to be able to do it tonight. We'll do it, hit it tomorrow night. So Saturday comes. I'm kind of like, I'm not that I don't want to party with him, but I just don't. I don't really care to. I just said what I was supposed to say to be cool. Saturday night comes and I dodge out on it. And I don't see him. I leave. I'm like, thank God. I got to do one Sunday show and I'm just going to drive home. Sunday night, he corners me in the green room.
He's yeah.
He's like, that's tonight, his night. Tonight's your night, bro. And I was like, okay. So I was like, all right. So I put all my shit back in the condo. Parked the car and I was like, I'm going out partying with Dan. And we just went to that Shooters right down the street.
Mm-hmm.
Just went there and just sat down at the bar and he just looked at me. He goes, so what do you think? I was like, what? And he's like, this is it, man. This is like you're partying with me. And I was like, oh, fuck.
What?
Yeah, it was weird.
How long did you guys get really fucked up or no?
Yeah, no, we just had enough drinks where I couldn't drive back to LA. And then he was just called it a night and I was like, oh, fuck. So that was the last time I really. It's interesting to me how many people you put all your eggs in that basket sometimes in this business with like a club owner or a manager and you're like, all right, I got this place and you're just cool shit. And then all of a sudden one day they're gone and you're like, well, fuck.
I got blind drunk with, what's the guy that was running Houston Improv? The okay, Kiki Lala, that guy?
No, not Trey.
No, creepy guy. The creepy guy. Yeah. He's a creepy fuck.
No, the creepy guy's dead. The other guy.
No. He's a creepy fuck. They sent him to Arlington. He's the rapist. He's the tree jumper.
Geez, I wasn't saying anything.
Yeah. They put him in Arlington. Oh, no. You know, Dan Murr was a fucking dirty coke fiend. like a filthy coke fiend. And he would get so coked up that you think he had a stroke. His lip would turn, like his lip would just go upwards. So one night, everybody for years, one night when I had the really bad sleep apnea, and I really wasn't sleeping, and I didn't know what the...
God damn it.
Rest in peace.
I didn't know what the sleep apnea, what the effects were yet.
Uh-huh.
I passed out one night really hard, and all of a sudden I wake up to the door banging, and it's Joe Rogan pre-marijuana when he was fucking miserable. I always say he was an ape. You ever see the evolution of an ape? Uh-huh. That's when he was an ape.
Yeah.
If you didn't know Joe pre-marijuana, it wasn't. It was like a spurts. There was something missing. Thank God Eddie talked him into that. Because you didn't know what he was. Anti-drug.
Yeah.
Anti-fucking drug. You know, if Bert came over and the next day he called me. You know, Bert Kreischer had like 16 fucking beers. He's got a bad problem, you know. And he would just say that. I remember we went to see Doug Stanhope. That's how it started. And he's like, fucking Doug is funny, but somebody's got to talk to him about his alcoholism. I'm like, Joe, nobody says things like that. Like, nobody. I go, why would you say that? He goes, why would I say that? He had 11 beers and 4 shots of tequila on stage. That's how uptight Joe Rogan used to be.
God, so I don't even recognize that guy.
No. He gave me, Ricky Cruz, and Ralphie May shit for smoking pot at the Comedy Store one night.
Really?
That's how twisted he was then. He was very by the book. You know, what's his name? Had just died from drugs. The guy on Saturday Night Live, his buddy on News Radio and all that.
Oh, Phil Hartman.
So he was very...
Well, he got shot, though.
Right. Something had happened with Joe that he was very... And he would not discuss cocaine with me at that time. Like, he wouldn't... Like, I wouldn't ever, ever be high in front of him. And one night we all said goodnight, and I went back to my room and I started watching TV, and I just passed out, guys, and I heard boom, 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 and it's Joe Rogan with the security. Joey, open up the door. Are you all right? What the fuck? We were supposed to be downstairs at 8:30. Now we missed our fucking flight and all this shit. I'm like, hold on. And he's looking around my room, and I'm like, no, dog, I went to bed last night. And the whole way there, him and Chris McGuire yakking. Like, I know he was with Danny Merlin.
Chris McGuire. I know Chris, the bald dude.
That's when we used, Chris McGuire and me used to open for Joe.
I remember Chris McGuire.
And then we get to the airport.
He's the head writer for all the roasts.
All those roasts. Then we get to the fucking airport, and the flight's delayed 4 hours. So all that yelling and screaming was for no fucking reason. I even told him. I go, see, the flight's fucking delayed. Who gives a fuck? But he always thought I was with Danny Merlin. I'll tell you guys right now. I never did a line of blow with Danny Murr. This is what I did do to Danny Murr one night. I knew what Danny Murr did, and Danny Murr knew what I did, okay? There's people that you have relationships like that.
Yeah.
That, like, let's say Lee's a coke dealer.
Yeah.
Lee knows that you and Bert are friends. I know that Bert goes to Lee, and Bert knows that I go to Lee. We just don't say it to one another.
Yeah.
But there's times that we'll be talking out. Even though me and Bert aren't friends, I'll see Bert and I go, "You see Lee tonight?" And he'll go, no, I saw him last night. So it's our little secret, but right. off the books.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I always knew that he got high, and he knew I got high. We never really did anything, but one night he calls me up, and he goes, "Hey, man, I got 2 tickets for the Stones at the Hollywood Bowl." He goes, "You want to go?" I'm 400 fucking pounds. I'm smoking 2 packs, 3 packs of Camel Lights a day. And I'm doing 1.5 grams of blow at this time.
Jesus Christ.
I'm living on Schrader. I'm a fucking mess.
Yeah.
Externally, internally. So I meet him at El Compadre, and I buy 2 20s. I buy like 10 20s because I know him and I know me. And when he gave me my ticket, I shook his hand, and I put 3 20s in his hand. And he took it and put it in his pocket. He never told me thank you. That's old school.
Yeah.
There's nothing to discuss. You don't know nothing. I don't know nothing. That's the only drug exchange I have with him. He bought it. He paid a limo. We took a limo from El Compadre to the fucking thing. We got out of that car. My fat little heart's beating from the blow and the cigarettes. You ever walk up that Hollywood Bowl
hill? Yes.
You ever want to rip the tickets up and punch the person in the face who had the ideas to go there?
Because by it's the time, all uphill.
All
uphill from Highland and Franklin.
Oh, my God. By the time you get to the top, you want to shoot yourself.
Yeah.
So we walk in. The seats were just, I could see the sweat on Mick Jagger. You know, Danny Murray didn't fuck around.
Yeah.
That's one thing. That dude swung hard. He had tickets from fucking, you know, Letterman's assistant. Like, yeah. That's who got him those tickets. Like, somebody big's assistant. You could see Mick Jagger's sweat. But the problem was, the coke made me want to smoke cigarettes in those days.
And you couldn't smoke in there.
I couldn't smoke in there. So after one time, I went up there, and by the time I got up, I was huffed and puffed. I almost had a heart attack. I smoked 3 cigarettes. My blood pressure's 200. I went right back down. After 3 or 4 more songs, I do another couple blasts. I walk back up to the top. Again, 3 cigarettes. I walk back down. Finally, I'm down, and I go, fuck. Now I got to pee. I walk all the way back up there. I pee, and I go, you know what? I'm not walking back down. And I just left. I walked right to my apartment and got the fucking rest of that 8-ball and blasted off like a soldier. He kept calling me, "Where you at? Fuck you." I didn't even answer the phone. I think I had a pager back then. I still had the pager.
Fuck you. I didn't even answer the phone. Rest in peace.
I didn't have a phone. I had a pager.
It's got to be a heart attack, right?
What's that?
Dammer's heart attack?
I don't know. He died of a broken heart, bro. Some people die of broken hearts. Last time I talked to him...
It's got to be hard to take that tumble. Because from going to running one of the more popular clubs in the country, where everyone wants to work, to getting run out. I guess Mark Anderson killed himself, and then that kind of fell. Everything fell apart from there with that club. That guy Howard wanted to Dan out.
Dan was a fucking... Dan had lost himself. Dan lost himself, and he wanted to be Hartman. He wanted to compete with Hartman.
Phil Hartman?
Robert Hartman.
Your manager.
I'm like, wait.
He wanted to hang out with celebrities. He wanted to...
Yeah, he loved that.
You know, he loved that. You know, he would say, "Oh, you know, was at my club this weekend, Spade and Sandler and Chris Rock." You know, he loved saying those words. He loved going to Letterman because the fucking guy that got fired for saying chicks ain't funny.
Eddie Brill.
He used to, that's the only last club that would hire him because that was Danny Murray's only way to get onto Letterman.
Oh, yeah.
So Brill would get him Letterman tickets and take him out to dinner, and then he'd headline him for 10 G's. And you know how that goes. It's fucking amazing how this life works. But he started losing his mind, and he started believing the hype that he was a great club owner. He got a magazine done with his picture.
Yeah, they had that framed and everything.
Yeah,
in the club. It's so weird.
Wait, a fake magazine article?
Like a magazine that 3 college kids put together with their
dads. But it's like a cover shot.
It was. Yeah. He got it at the mall, but he was in a Confederate uniform. It was one of those ones you get put your name on.
He really believed the hype. He really wanted to be a player. I knew he had invested off record in a lot of comics CDs. Like, he would go to comics and say, "Put my name on your CD. I'll give you 10 grand.
Horrible taste in comedy.
As a producer, yeah.
He gave me a lot of notes through the day, years.
And who the fuck was he at the end of the day? Like, who the fuck was that? That's what happened to him. He went from being a club manager to being, I know everything about comedy. Look at my club. Yeah, you're good, but stop giving advice. Stop telling people they can't drink on stage.
Yeah, that was the dumbest fucking law ever.
Stop not getting blowjobs up in the green room. If you got your dick sucked in the green room, he'd go to the owner. Joey, you know, he was a crime. He was like a double agent.
Yeah.
And then he'd come and hang out, and then he'd want to party with, where's Joe Rogan? And then he'd sit by Joe, and he'd be coked up, and I could see the steam in Joe's fucking ears getting hotter and hotter. Every time he'd try to say something, his jaw would be going. You know, it was just fucking embarrassing. You know, at that time, listen, bro, I don't know how you guys feel. Let me just tell you guys something. This is how I felt for, I'm 52. This is how I felt for 27 years. I think when I was 25, one day I said, I feel creepy going out.
Yeah.
Like, I'd see, like, college kids, and I'd go, you know, you feel like that guy that flunked college and still hanging out, like...
Shut up.
Like this fucking Jamal. But he made a little... You know,
he's exceptional. 20.
He was in his 20s. You feel like that 30-year-old that's lurking. It's like when I go to the weed store, and I see the guy with the Leonard Skinner shirt with the ponytail, man. And he's 55. And, man, and you're like sitting there going, really? Isn't that fucking jitney bus you should be on or some shit? Like, oh, you know, this is an end to this trying to be cool shit. There's an end to it at some point. I flew on a thing today with a 60-year-old that was tatted up and steroided up. You're fucking 60, guy. Then Tabuti had a wig.
Oh, the wigs are the saddest. The wigs,
it's 2015. You're still pushing the wig. Shave your head like every other fucking joke.
Yeah.
And put like a crucifix on your head or something.
What are you, Lee? Like 40, what are you? 45, 46?
He's 26 years old. Why are you breaking his
26 and what? Dog years?
He's 26 years old. He lost his birth certificate in Israel. He's like the Cubans. They lose every birth certificate. That's why you see a Cuban. Salud. Look, I ain't lying.
Look how high.
Lee, how high are you?
Well, I've had like 300 milligrams.
When I met Lee, he was 24 years old, 23, and he never did an edible. Look at him now.
Wow. He's running the boards.
Salud again.
Bless you.
I aged 20 years.
You have.
That week in Florida, to me, was the last. And I thought the rest of the country was like that. It was the summer of 84. And I was just about to start getting bad with the blow. Like, it was around.
Yeah.
And I was dating this chick that had tremendous pussy. I mean, I was in love with her. I would steal her panties and jerk off when I wasn't with her. And, oh, my God. She was fucking tremendous. And she sucked dick. And we'd get coked up together. And we'd 69 in hotel rooms on Fridays and Saturdays. And we used to drink Harvey's Bristol Cream. Anybody remember Harvey's Bristol Cream? Uh-uh. It was like a fucking strong Irish, what's that shit, Bailey's?
Oh, yeah.
It was like a 90-proof Bailey's that fucked you up. And it took a broad from point A to point Z with a half a biscuit and a couple of lines. And me and that chick would get, like, I'd save money the whole week, get like 3 Quaaludes, get 2 bottles of Harvey's Bristol Creams, a bag of ice cubes. I get a hotel room in Seaside Heights in the wintertime for like $10. And I'd take her down in an attic and I'd sat and I'd coke her up and fucking eat her ass. And we'd 69 and she'd stop and do a line of coke and clean her nose and suck that fucking pipe again. Those are the days, dog. Those are the fucking days when you're 20.
When is Triplet premiering?
Triplet, June 2nd on Travel Channel. 8 so, p.m. double premiere episode.
That's the show you want. That's the trip tank you want. Like the show that you go and see the underground. People shooting heroin. People snorting blow. Somebody ODing.
Is that on Triplet?
No, that's what people want to see. They want to see
the entire screen will be blurred.
Look at this over here eating. Look at this over here eating the biggest sandwich in Texas. Look at the fuck, Jack. I want to see where the bodies crack a lot in Texas. I want to see Bird all coked up, doing bumps at a club, taking an ear beating from a chick with bad breath at the bathroom. And she's like, if you come to my place, Bird's like, okay. And the camera has to follow you.
Guys, cut the
Yo, fuck that. Then you go back to a house, and she's shooting heroin on. She starts to OD. She starts to OD, but you got to crack a nut from the heroin, and you put your dick in her mouth. And then she ODs, and you and the camera crew leave. And on the way down the stairs, you bump into another party. Like, that's the fucking show right there. Nobody wants to see you at a restaurant going on a roller coaster. Shit. Who gives a fuck? You're in a
June 2nd
show I've ever heard
on Travel Channel.
Holy shit. That is, listen. So I'm at a restaurant, Bert Kreischer. It's August of 84. I am a psychological wound.
Yeah.
I was just starting to digest that my mother had died. When you have a loss that strong.
Yeah.
I was in high school. I went to school the next day. I may believe like she was still alive in my head, not to deal with it. And finally, after 4 years, I had to deal with it. And I'm in a restaurant eating, and all of a sudden this guy comes up to me and he goes, "Hey, aren't you Denora's son?" He goes, "Fucking Muñeco's looking for you." Muñeco was this friend of the family's that had one eye that went that way. But when he'd do coke, the eye would ravel. But he was fucking... I did something for him as a kid one time. He had two sons, and we all got along. And I did something...
Oh, he's in a different zone.
I did something for him as a kid one time.
He's going to have a t-shirt.
And my, like,
he had two sons.
Yeah, we all got along, right? Right. So, what the fuck? Like, we all got along. What do you think? What do you think? There was
like a tale.
Huh?
You was like a fairy tale.
Oh, my God.
We had two sons. We all got along.
Dog, I got to sell the story. What do you want to do? You think I'm going to give it to them cold?
So, wait. So, Muñeco's looking for you.
He's got two.
My mother died in 79.
Yeah.
He came to the wake and shit, but throughout the years, we lost contact with each other. Muñeco was a big-time drug dealer in 80, and about the time they killed... This is a fucked-up story that I'm thinking about right now. Before my mom died, my mom woke me up like a year before she died and goes, "Hey, man, I got to talk to you about something." She goes, "You know Muñeco's son?" Because he had one son, then he had twins.
Mm-hmm.
She goes, "They killed one of the twins."
What?
I go, "What are you talking about?" She goes, "Some chick and him and OD'd. The kid always was troubled. He OD'd in Fort Lee in some house." So,
Jesus.
I'm like, "That's really sad. You know, what are we going to do?" I think we went to the funeral and whatever, and then we came home. When we got home, she came to me, my mom, and she's like, "He wants to talk to you about something." I'm like, "Okay." And I'm in the eighth grade, seventh grade, but my best friend was that guy right there, Carmine the Torch Balzano.
Whoa, which one?
That guy.
The football coach.
Oh, yeah?
He wasn't no fucking football coach.
Right, what does it look like? Isn't it football?
No.
Okay.
He's reading the paper to a bunch of guys.
He was a cop that burnt the fucking, had a strip club and burnt it down. He was tremendous. But he knew people. So this Muñeco guy.
Do you think he'd get pulled out of a lineup? Which one do you think it was? Was it Derek or Carmine the Torch that burnt down? Right?
So my mom, Muñeco took me to lunch or something. He goes, "Listen, I need a big favor. I need for you to go to your mafia buddy and get to the bottom of who killed my son. I guess he was doing heroin. They gave him a bad dose."
Hot shot.
"I want to know who the chick was." And I was like in shock. I couldn't go to Carmine and ask him because I always thought that Carmine didn't know what went on in my house. I kept my house and Carmine completely different. I used to hang out at Carmine's house with his kids, and he was like a big-time cop. And my mom would always say, "Bust his balls, get information from him." Mm. And I always would go, "Ma, are you fucking crazy? I'm not going to ask him about numbers and shit. That's my fucking getaway from you fucking crazy spick motherfuckers. That was my refuge." And all that shit went down, and one day Carmine calls me, and he goes, "Hey, Coco, do me a favor. Come over to the house real quick." And I flew to his house, and when I got to his house, he goes, "Run back to the house and tell your fucking mother to clean the house. Tell her to clean the house fucking right now." And I ran back, and as I'm running, I can see the cop cars coming. So Carmine knew what was going on in my house the whole time.
Yeah.
So my mother dies. I lose contact with Muñeco. I don't see Muñeco until 84. I'm at a restaurant, a Cuban restaurant. This guy approaches me, says, "Muñeco wants to see you." I call him. When I call him, he meets me at the airport. I go down there, but I'm going down there with my nose wide open. I'm going down there for a handout, guys. I'm not going down there because I want to see him. I'm going down there with a sob and a story how I got robbed and my mother's husband didn't give me anything. I'm just looking for a handout, which I'm going to snort the whole fucking thing anyway.
Yeah.
So I stay at his house the first night. It's real cool. Second night, I stay at his house, and I ask him a question about another guy I knew in Miami that I had grown up with that went to prison. And he couldn't come to my mom's wake. And he goes, "He's out. We'll call him right now." And I broke down. That was like my fucking on paper uncle growing up.
Yeah.
So he goes, I'll drive you over in a couple of days. So right there, I go, listen, man, I'm in a bind. I need some help. Muñeca goes, why don't you ask me? I'll give you what you want. He goes, hold on. He goes, take a ride. We go to his furniture store. He goes in the back of his furniture store, and he starts giving me these little, you know when you give somebody a pendant from like Zales, those little boxes? He goes, open it up. I open it up. It's like a cheap pendant, but he goes, take the back. It was an ounce of coke, flattened out already. And he goes, I'll give you like 10 of them on the arm. Just bring me back 900 apiece. I was like, are you fucking serious? I go, how do I bring them across? He goes, it's a piece of cake. Just put them in your luggage. They'll get right through Miami International Airport. I had nothing to lose. So before that, he goes, spend the night at my house, and I'll take you to the other guy's house. I go, all right. So this night, he goes, come out to the bungalow. So we're out in the bungalow. We're watching TV. He disappears for like an hour. He comes back with this fucking tub, a margarine tub with water in it.
Yeah.
And a dish with cocaine on it. And he's like, you want a bump? But the hand I was playing, I couldn't do coke in front of him. Do you understand me? Right. I was playing the hand of a dealer that was broke, and I could move coke in New York. I don't even do that shit. I hate that shit.
Oh, I see, because if you do it in front of him, all of a sudden,
boom, you follow me? He could tell they were bullshitting him. So I was straight. So I'm watching this guy doing bumps, and he's doing bumps, and he's having a good time. All of a sudden, he just freezes, and he starts locking the doors. Right, he starts locking the doors, guys, and he had like, you know, when you go to Miami, everybody's windows are bolted up and shit. He had all that shit. He turned alarms on, and he would fucking walk around the house and look at all the fucking cameras, and then he disappeared for 10 minutes, and he came back with Hanes underwear on, white ones, with a gun strapped on the Hanes underwear with the margarine tub. The reason why he had the margarine tub, if the cops came, he was going to flip the dish in the water. That was his mentality. That's how deep he was. I wasn't that deep into paranoia yet, into the cocaine. I got like that 10 years later. I still was in the thing with cocaine and snorting.
And then what would you do? If you say you dipped it into the water, you could evaporate the water and get the coke,
I have
right?
no idea. You could flip it on the carpet. I have no idea. I used to get high with another guy that used to tie a string around his wrist and tie it to the doorknob. So if somebody was opening up the doorknob,
dude,
he could, that's where cocaine takes you.
We used to do that. I hate to talk like this. After we robbed the train in Russia, those two guys said that's how you sleep when you're on the train. So the whole time we went through the train in Europe, me and my friends, I would tie the door to my wrist. So if the door opened, it would pull my arm wake me up. So we did that the entire time. And then I always had a string with me. It was a one way, because that's how they rob a train. They say open the door slightly and then just crawl in and start pulling shit out.
Pull your arm up.
As soon as they open the door, your arm goes up and you're fucking wide awake.
Wow. That's crazy shit. So this guy was so paranoid. He lived on the 34th floor. He used to tie parachutes on his bags of cocaine. So if the cops came and he threw them out the window off the balcony, this is where it takes your mind. But anyway, that's a complete different story. Here I am with this 60-year-old Cuban with underwear on, nothing else, and a gun. Right? And he's walking around, and he's doing coke, and now he starts crawling, and he's running into a room, and he's doing blow. And I'm sitting there watching TV, and I'll never forget the song that was on. You know what the hot song was that week? Chaka Khan. Chaka Khan, let me rock Chaka Khan. Let me rock. And I heard that song over and over. I stayed with him for 4 hours while he's doing the best blow in Miami. And I'm sitting there like a fucking priest drinking fucking soda.
Really?
Eating sandwiches. And I'm dying inside. I'm dying to do this blow. And in the middle of all this, I hear, bah, the gun goes off. And he shoots himself in the foot. And I'm like about to faint from anxiety and debt. And his kid comes in and his wife. And they're like, what happened? I'm like, he shot himself. I'm like, that's the third time in 2 years. Look at this fucking foot. He shot himself in the ankle. It was fucking crazy. And the cops came. They already knew. Oh, what'd you do, Muñeco? You shot yourself again? Jesus Christ. When are you going to stop doing that shit? They fucking took him. It was like another day in Miami.
Jesus
And I'm
Christ.
Like, oh, my God. Now I don't have a ride. Now I got to take a fucking $80 cab ride. There goes my fucking coke.
Hey, Joey, will you walk me through your weight gain and weight loss through the years? So, like, when did you start gaining weight?
The weight gain started 1995 in Seattle.
That's when you started gaining weight. That's
when I left Boulder, I was about 230.
Really?
shoulders. I swam every day. I rode a bicycle around town. When I got divorced, I was a big North Boulder Rec guy. Big. Yeah. Fins to swim. Goggles.
Really?
3-4 times a week. Master's swimming program. I loved it.
So then, and then when you went to Seattle, that's when you were with Josh Wolf and Brody.
No weights. Car, no walking anymore. In Boulder, I didn't have a phone, so I have to walk to the payphone. Yeah. When you text me, you know, the walking disappears. It's amazing when the walking disappears. When I was an open micer in New York, I was Slim Jim Magoo. And you're eating in New York, right? You're getting the slice.
Yeah.
You're getting the meatball hero in Harlem because you're walking. Your movement. And it's all uphill.
Do you remember what you used to call? Remember when I lost all that weight and I was walking around everywhere? I just walked to meet you. Remember you used to call it the DUI diet? He goes, he didn't drive, dog. Why'd you walk? And I go, I was just trying to lose weight. And he's like, what do you want to do? Did you get DUI?
There's different diets for people. And listen, when you take walking out of your fucking patois, you want to lose weight? Walk from fucking Studio City to Hollywood 2 times a week.
I almost walked here tonight, and then I was like, "Fuck that!"
Oh, that's a hike. That's a hike.
So then, when you went to Seattle,
to Seattle in the beginning, I started gaining weight. I started fucking and sucking the stripper. Once you start eating pussy, is when you go limp. That's the biggest weight gain in your life. Once that pussy's good and you're in love and you're eating bagels.
Dude, I was 185 when I met Leanne.
Yeah. That's the biggest. So when I met this stripper, here I am taking aluminum foil out of her asshole. I think I'm eating turkey burgers. I'm eating fucking 3 egg omelets for breakfast.
3 egg omelets?
Oh, my God. This chick always had a yeast infection, so I had to keep my immune system up. You know what I'm saying? When you're a stripper, that yeast infection is alive inside you.
So how heavy were you when you moved to Hollywood?
So when I moved to Hollywood, I was probably 255. From Seattle. The really good picture of me at Stanhope's where people look at and go, wow.
Can you pull that up?
No, can you find it? Nobody's got it. Oh, okay. Rogan's got it in his personal file. I'm about 250, 255. And then...
What kind of file does he have?
It really went deep in probably about 2001 was where the sleep apnea and the cocaine met. And I started going on the road for long periods of time.
The road will do it.
The road, eating that fried food, those Yoda rooms in Michigan, the booze, the blow. The blow will kill you. The blow, unless you're out there sucking dick and smoking crack and not eating, but when you have a little bit of money and you do blow, you binge eat. When you wake up, you right away put 8,000 calories in your system and you go upstairs and sleep. You do that 4 or 5 days a week. The results are fucking monstrous.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what happened was when I got the sleep apnea, you're not getting enough oxygen in your blood system. And all of a sudden you start creating. What's that thing you create when your body goes into panic?
I know what you're talking about. Serotonin?
Serotonin. So that makes you fat as fuck. Yeah. So I remember getting on a scale at one time going, wow, Josh Wolf got a deal. And I got this commercial for a mobster. Something happened. I needed suits. And I called Josh. And I go, Josh, I need to borrow money. He goes, you know what, man? I got this deal. I'm going to give you a present anyway. He gave me $500.
Josh Wolf's show on CMT starts June 9th. June 9th, everybody.
Yeah, he's
going to
be
CMT.
On the podcast next Wednesday.
I just thought I'd throw in a plug.
Are you on that night?
No, you're on the first week. I'm going to do like next week or the week after that.
Okay, I'm doing the 11th. Yeah, I'm doing the 11th. So.
Yeah.
What was I talking about?
Josh Wolf, you asked him to borrow money for a suit.
You asked him to borrow money for it. He gave me $500 and I went to that 3 suits for $200 in Hollywood.
Yeah.
You get 3 shirts, 3 ties, 3 suits, a pair of shoes, a belt, a hat, a burger from fucking Musso and Frank's. You get everything for $200. But those suits are great for about the third use, you got to throw them away. Once you stretch and the elbow pops out or somebody lights something flammable next to your suit, because it's always something flammable. Don't go to one of those fucking poison in concerts, because you'll leave there like a fucking. I was going to say something cruel, but it's Monday night's Memorial Day.
So then, when did you? You get to 400 pounds.
Wait, so do you get your suits?
Let me tell you guys, when I went for those suits,
Lee's laugh is the best tonight because it comes out of nowhere.
When I went for those suits, it was probably March, let's just say 2000 or 2001. I went for those suits. I was about 300 pounds. About a month later, I went to put that suit on. And I have no reason to lie to anybody. The pants were 2 inches away. When I bought those suits, I fit in that pants. I bought those pants. I got them tailored for myself.
Yeah.
When I put them on 2 months later, I was 2 inches away. I couldn't even breathe the stomach in. That was the sleep apnea, the cocaine addiction, and the diet all met at one time.
Yeah.
And I went from like 3 to 355 overnight. Couldn't even wear regular clothes. I had to be sponsored by Big Daddy.
And I remember Ralphie was sponsored by Big Daddy.
All of us.
Yeah.
And he was sending me clothes. That's how I was living. I was taking my profits from comedy, snorting them, and I was getting clothes from Big Daddy.
Yeah.
Why buy jeans when Big Daddy would send you those sweats in the mail? It was amazing.
Sweats are the enabler to gaining weight.
Yeah.
Sweats are the friend that's like, dude, just one more time.
How big, what year is your
And then business? I did went to Houston for the holidays. Pete used to book me for 2 weeks over the holidays.
Yeah.
If you're a fat dude and it's in your DNA to be fat and you like eating, Houston should never be a stop for you at all. They go deep in Houston, and especially if you're doing blow and drinking.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's I used to go to
the drinking, you're waking up, and right away you eat pierogies instead of two eggs and oatmeal.
Yeah.
Those pierogies, I throw 10 of them and 3 cans of Coke right off the bat, just to fuel the diabetes and the cocaine at God 7 in the morning. It. I'd even stop doing blow to go get kolaches and get like 3 jalapenos, 3 sausage and cheese. You know, 10 of them and 3 cans of Coke. And on the way, stop at fucking Taco Cabana and get 3 breakfast tacos, potato, egg, and cheese with the spicy sauce.
Oh, God, yeah. Houston, Texas has got great fucking
terrible
food.
And then you go to sleep and you wake up and you go to Beavis and you get a fucking Greek cheeseburger with the steak fries and the clam chowder with the fucking fish in it. You know, the Greeks, what do you got? Clab, throw it in there. Who gives a fuck? That shit. And then at night, I go by Pete, and there was a Chinese restaurant by Pete.
Remember, it was right next door.
It was right next door.
It was a Chinese restaurant. Oh, I used to fucking love that place.
Who do you think you're dealing with, dog? And then down the block, I remember if you look up Disco Inferno on Cold Case, that was the first remarkable gain weight. I went from 355 to about 380 in a month. Ooh. 2 of those weeks were in Houston, Texas. It was on about a month ago. If you ever see Cold Case, always pop it up and see if it's Disco Inferno. I play a cab driver. That was really skinny at one time.
Yeah.
I was a disco dancer. But after the cocaine backfired, I moved to Philly and I become a cab driver. And I
what you know, like casting.
So it was one of those, I did 2 weeks in Houston.
Yeah.
Basically got off the plane, did New Year's with Joe at Melrose on Saturday, slept all day Sunday, and I was the second scene on the first day of shooting on like the 3rd of January.
Oh, wow.
It was one of those things.
Yeah.
So I didn't really get a chance to lose the sodium out of my body from eating out all the time in Houston.
Yeah.
When you look at that episode of Cold Case, you will go, Joey, you were 2 weeks from dying. And right around that time when I came back was when I got diagnosed with the sleep apnea. I finally fell asleep at, where's President Clinton from?
Arkansas.
What is it?
Arkansas. Little Rock, Arkansas.
Little Rock at that funny bone that Joe Chadwick bought. Remember when they broke off and Joe Chadwick and the black bartender who robbed the bar in Miami, they bought a fucking mysterious funny bone at Little Rock. And I was asleep at the fucking, I was asleep at the hotel and a guy came up to me and goes, excuse me, I'm a doctor. I heard you snoring when I was checking in. You better go to a doctor on Monday. He goes, just from looking at you, I could see the bags under your eyes, the color of your skin. You're going to get sick. He goes, you have sleep apnea. I could hear you choking. At that point, I had been thrown off a flight.
For snoring?
Before the flight took off, guys, I sat down, I put my head back, and I started going. And they said, and they're like, you got to go, dog. You got to go get some sleep.
Wait a minute.
Oh, my God.
No airline person says you got to go get some sleep.
It was really bad. I was on United, and I think I had alcohol on my breath or something the night before. But no, I wasn't drinking that morning, but you could tell I was fucked up like the night before.
You're not even a big drinker, so that would
be. No, but when I was doing blow, I threw it down. Listen, when you do blow, when I threw blow, Budweiser cans, cold like a motherfucker.
Yeah.
Give me a case of those 12 ounces, put it in the freezer.
That was what Felipe was saying. You got to, Tom, you got to hang out with Felipe's
part. I was listening to a part of it. It was hilarious.
That guy's so, but Joey and him are so authentic.
Yeah, completely. Of course.
I feel like, that's, do you ever feel like we're kids listening?
I'm a total child right here.
Yeah, like when Joey tells the stories, I feel like the two of us.
What, am I going to jump in with my fucking story about the time I ate a sandwich somewhere? Like
he was crazy, Felipe.
Yeah.
Like when he got down, he got scary down. Like he went to a different place. Like
really?
The Eddie Bravo Indian. But I got two good Eddie Felipe stories. One night we did a gig together, but he's hung out to do something, and I bought a batch of coke. Well, I thought was coke. When I got to the hotel room, it was meth. It was up in one of those Merced.
Yeah.
Oh. In one of those meth counties. Yeah.
And I did it anyway. You know me. Fuck it. If you know, it's here. What am I going to do? Yeah. Get back in the car and hunt it down? Fuck it. You know, that's what we got tonight.
So yeah. You did
and
meth that
I
night.
Did it, and he got... I did two or three lines. I was fucked up. And he came back, and I remember that I must have smoked 80 cigarettes in front of him. Like one after the other, watching the TV Joey show. We left the door open.
Can you imagine Joey on meth?
And there was, oh my Joey God. And there was a fucking female comic at the hotel that I knew. I remember saying in the back of my head, I'm going to go over, give her some meth dick. I'm going to wake her up because my dick was hard in fucking hell.
Why couldn't you just go to find more coke? Like, actually find coke? Like, you don't because, have to do that.
Listen, I already, it took me an hour
to get. Did you bust one of those Joey Diaz nuts?
Huh? I don't know what I did. Fucking tremendous. And another night, Felipe calls me up. And he goes, hey, man, what are you doing? I go, nothing. He goes, I'm in your neighborhood. You want to take a ride? I go, yeah, I knew what he wanted. This is when I just heard rumors, you know?
Yeah.
He had never done powder with me. He picks me up, and I go to El Compadre. Like, let's go inside. We get a margarita. I get like $100 worth of blow. This is how bad I was. And he goes, you ready to go? I go, yeah. So he was under the impression I was going to give him some.
Yeah.
We get in the car. He starts the car. I start opening up packages with a dollar bill. I'm throwing him out of the car.
That's like a shotgun snort.
And he's by the third package. He's like looking at me like, where's mine? I'm like, and I just threw it. And I opened up all five packages, did 20s, one in a row. And he goes, what happened to mine? I go, I can't give it to you. My buddy, drive me home. And he drove me home. I remember he called me 4 days later. He goes, that was fucking crazy. That's how bad I got with the blow. That was
torn. Both of you guys used to get down, huh?
Oh.
He told Tom, did you hear the story about Joey and Tom, Joey and Felipe did a Spanish speaking talk show?
No. Oh my God. My girlfriend's mom watches it. It's a clown with a big wig. Doing like a Jay Leno thing, and pretending he's not a clown.
Joey's talking to him in Cuban Spanish. Uh-huh. So the guy's like, I don't know what the fuck you're saying. And Joey's going, I would pay money to see that.
Where is that? How does somebody not have that?
I
have no fucking idea.
I want to find it.
It's like Los Platanitos or something?
El Platanitos.
El Platanitos.
Yeah, and what was the, you guys had to do, did you guys do stand-up or just
no.
do panel?
No, we did like a Spanish contest, like a ball-throwing contest. Listen, it was like $3,000 the week before the holidays. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you got to do what you got to do.
But both of them speak that. Like both of them speak like that, English Spanish.
Yeah, yeah.
Like Felipe goes, I don't even know the word for breaks. I go, what? And he goes, I thought it was brecos.
Yeah, sometimes you just... It's funny how every year for a couple of years, I would get a cocaine gift a week before the holidays. Like one time I went to do an audition, and I didn't get the part, but I'm walking out, some little chubby guy comes at me and says, excuse me, you'd be right for a mafia commercial you're doing, but it's non-union, but it pays $2,500 for 2 days' work, if you know anyone. Where do I sign? Non-union, I don't give a fuck. You know, this is the holidays, Jack. That's $2,500 cash. And they put us up in a hotel, tremendous. All the way, like in Camarillo, nice, like fucking butlers and shit. Yeah. Like doctors, non-union, put us up, fed us. It was a Snickers commercial for fucking Russia or something like that. Then the 1 year I got the ski thing, I got the teeth with Warren Miller. Every year they would
you did a ski thing with Warren Miller?
Oh my God, they would pick a comic every year, and it was a company out of Boulder that did skiing, and they would host a boat. Oh my God.
Oh, you didn't ski? Oh,
I skied. I skied when I lived in Colorado for
real?
3 or 4 years. I loved it. I never skied in Jersey. That's not skiing.
Yeah.
That's fear factor. That's your shit. Trip tank, whatever the fuck that is.
Trip tank.
Killing yourself, you know, on purpose.
Trip tank.
There's only three states you could ski in and have a great time like that.
Yeah.
You know, and it's Utah. Yeah. Wyoming has great skiing. Colorado.
Idaho.
You know, Idaho.
Idaho's got great skiing.
You know, what are we talking about?
Soldier Mountain, Idaho.
What are we talking
Look
about?
Look at Lee.
I have no idea.
Look at Lee. Who gives a fuck?
Lee, are you holding on by a thread?
Yeah, pretty much.
Nah, he's as tough as fucking nails. So what are we talking about skiing?
I have no idea.
I don't remember. I don't remember. I'm always fascinated by the path of your your life. Like the weight gain and weight loss blows me away because I don't know. Tom and I deal with weight gain a lot, but like I'll be dead honest with you. I've been getting like on the road. I've been eating like shit and getting depressed the next day. Like going, this isn't the right way to do it.
Listen, bro. As soon as I get my itinerary, the first thing I look at is the hotel, and I dial up the menu. Now, at least you have an idea. Listen, we're all savages, but you know what? Listen, you could eat two eggs, and you could have two pieces of multigrain toast. It's the potatoes that kill you. You're going to have three slices of that Oscar Mayer center cut bacon. You could have three pieces of that for breakfast and live. A little fruit, that's normal. I love to eat the potatoes, and I love the breakfast smoothie like I had, and we all love that shit, but that's what kills you, bro.
I'm 236. I started 242 was this weight loss thing I did started, and in a week I got done 236, but now I'm just like kind of plateaued because I drank this week.
You know that you have to work out 4 days
a week.
I work out
every day.
And you have to drink water. And
5 miles, run, drink water.
And you have to drink 2 days a week. You have to put it in your mind.
That's my thing
is the drink. And I get you. So you have to make a deal with yourself.
Yeah.
You know, you can't drink on the fucking flight. That kill. You know, that's
I it. Really genuinely wish I could do like you. What? And just have marijuana be my thing. But it's not. My brain's not wired that way.
That's what makes us unique. That we're all different. That there's people that like alcohol. I can't.
I want to do a tour bus really bad. Like I talked to Jim Jeffries today, and he was telling me exact numbers. I really want to do a tour.
He was telling you numbers of what it costs.
What it costs for a tour bus and where you got to break even.
Is this extraordinary?
No. It's 10 grand a week. I'm not. No, listen, obviously, you know exactly how much money I make, Buns. So do you, Joey. I can't afford that in a weekend. But if you start doing these one-nighter, like do a tour of one-nighters. Where you do it at rock clubs and I'm gonna do I do the calling sick to work thing. So I was like, I could do that every day of calling sick to work. It doesn't matter what day of the week it is, as long as it's not Saturday or Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I really want to do a tour bus now, like while I'm young, while I'm not young, but like while I'm enjoying comedy. You know what I mean? I was like, why aren't we doing a tour bus? Like three of us or me, like the three of us. Why wouldn't we do a tour from like Tampa, Orlando, Atlanta, Nashville? Columbus,
here
Pittsburgh.
Here we go again. Now tomorrow I'm going to wake up. I'm going to have 1,000 tweets. When are you putting the tour together?
No, but why
would we do it? Don't fucking happen.
Why don't we do this?
And
why
I got
we do
two
this?
Days of people tweeting me, wasting my fucking precious space.
You ready, Joey?
What?
Calling sick to work tour. We'll do that in the morning, and then we'll do a show at night. Two different clubs.
I'll tell you why. Because I can't leave this fucking place for more than 3 days of this shit.
It's tough.
I only want to be away Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
I'm broken, man. I broke that fucking bomb barometer. Yeah.
After that, I'm done.
What would it take you to do two weeks in a tour bus?
Thursday, Friday. I don't want to smell your farts and you don't want to smell mine. Say. I'm an adult. If we were a rock and roll band and I had chicks sucking dick and a guy preparing my heroin shots and cutting lines. But at this point in my life, listen. Just put me in the hotel and pick me up in the morning. All right.
Really?
I want to take a shower. I don't want to be traveling. I don't want to be Tracy Morgan get hit by some fucking guy in a bus when I'm trying to whack off. I don't want none of that dilemma. Leave me the fuck alone. Everybody calls me every 2 weeks with a tour and an invention. First of all, I don't like promoting on a nightly basis.
You called me about a tour.
Well, it wasn't me. It was the fucking dude. All
right.
First off, I do not like the three-night promotions in the city.
What do you mean?
2-3 nights in a row on my Twitter. It just seems like a fucking whore. It's too much promotion.
Yeah.
Okay? It's too much. Then we got to make the Man of Steel retweet for us and all that shit. I don't have it in me to drive 4 hours. I don't have it in me to drink with people after a fucking show. I'm 52. I want to go to the room, have a cup of coffee, and pass the fuck out. I just don't have it. I wish I did. And to keep this up to par.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the week, this is the catalyst. You know, these agents call you up and they blah, 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 blah. And at the end of the week, then for 2 days, I got to rush this. Now I got to put somebody on I don't want. I got to do this. I got to do that. Now they stop listening to this and my numbers go down for me to make chump change because I want to be Johnny fucking Elvis at 40 and live in a fucking tour bus. Yeah. You got a nice life. You go on Thursday, you come back Saturday. You're a fucking sadic, you know. You like this shit of going to a baseball game on Sunday. I couldn't sit at a baseball game on a Sunday knowing my wife is cooking. I can't do it. There's no club in the country that I want to work on a Sunday.
Yeah.
And that's your dilemma.
I didn't know
you had so many gold teeth.
Oh, yeah. This guy's Johnny Pimp.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Are those new?
No, they've always been there. Yeah. I'm thinking about
it. You look like fucking Edgerrin James.
I can't go out on the road, give you 3 weeks, and guarantee I'm going to give you 9 great shows.
Right.
Really?
I can't do it no more. I don't want to ever burn out, Bert. I don't want to burn out 3 weeks. I don't want to be like these guys that's what it becomes. Yeah. And then it becomes the end-all, be-all. And now you're 52. You got 2 kids. You got a mortgage. And this is all you got. You moved here to do something here. Yeah. You didn't move here to go out there. If not, let's end it. Let's shake hands. Move to Houston. Move to Nashville. And cut your travel time.
Yeah.
You moved here to shoot a pilot on Thursday, to shoot the Travel Channel, to fucking pop an occasional movie or something. You didn't move here to go out every 8 weeks on the road, unless you're Bill Burr selling out 18 nights in a row fucking Wilbur Theater when you have those numbers. Really? But he that took time.
19 shows sold out the Wilbur.
But that takes time. That's a process. That's movies. That everything comes together.
Yeah, it's
crazy. I'm so confused. So Bill Burr did 19 shows?
19 sold out shows.
10 days.
Not 10 days.
Yeah, like 2 Monday, 2 Tuesday, 2 Wednesday, 2 Thursday, like that.
At the Wilbur Theater
in Boston, yeah.
Sold out.
It's just over 1,000 seats each show. So he sold like 19,000 tickets.
Holy shit. I feel like I've just been slacking on my stand up. Like, I feel like I listen to these guys.
Yeah, but you said it before, but you're out all over the world shooting TV shows. Like, you can't keep that up if you're doing what you do.
Listen, you have to focus on
one. I know you can't. Nobody can. But I mean,
while you're doing the travel show, you're penning. At night, you don't have time. While they're drinking, I got to go to the room. I got to pen for an hour. Because that pen, what's his name? Rodney Dangerfield didn't do comedy for a few years, but he kept penning.
Yeah.
So even though you're not doing that, when you pen sometimes, it's just as valuable.
Yeah.
Just keep penning. Something happened. You're hanging out with these fucking Puerto Ricans. Something had to happen. You're hanging out with a bunch of Arabs. Something had to happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Something had to happen. Something happens every day in your life that sometimes you don't write down or we miss. I'm the fucking number one guilty part of that. Yeah. But don't ever feel you're slacking. When I'm working on
like
a movie.
I just see all you the guys on the road. I feel like I come back and I get on the road for like 2 weeks, a month, but I'm not on all the fucking time, you know?
Yeah, but let's say I got a movie 5 days in New Orleans.
Yeah.
Most assholes, 90% of a comic would go, oh, I'm not making that much money on the movie. Let me go book a comedy night. Then you book 3 fucking nights in New Orleans. Now you're out till 12 and you're shooting a movie with fucking whoever. You're getting the opportunity of a lifetime. When I shoot a movie, guess what? Everybody else sucks my dick. I'm shooting a movie.
Yeah.
If at the end of that movie I want to do a weekend in New Orleans like I did, then it's done. But I don't mix apples and oranges. I used to, and I used to get a shitty result. Why are you getting a shitty result for? The most, to me right now, when I'm out the 3rd week in a row, that Thursday, I'm feeling it. I'm feeling my jokes.
Start to feel kind of like they're on play, press play.
Fuck it. That's when it's over. Once I feel that, that's it. That's why I told the guy, listen, don't back-to-back me no more. Every other, then give me 3 weeks off to recoup to get a feel for this.
Yeah.
And then put me out there. And I appreciate the work. Don't get me wrong. I just can't cover the spread no more. But I know this going in. I want to keep this fresh. I don't want to come in here on a Sunday, get home, pack, eat, and then come here at 8 o'clock because I got to leave on Wednesday because Rosemary wants me for Bob and Tom. Fuck you. Yeah. Bob and Tom can suck my dick. I'm going in Thursday.
Do these go out day and date?
No, these go out Monday night and Wednesday night. But, you know, I don't want to do 2 pot. Again, if I got to come in here Monday and then Tuesday, I want to even keep this motherfucker fresh.
Yeah.
I want to space it. I don't want to come in here and do 2 in a day and then the law of diminishing return. I went to the
law
of diminishing returns. I was the biggest whore in the world and it got me nothing for years. Everybody goes, you're a hustler. Yeah, I could throw down with the best of them. I could get that schedule. I could film my schedule 8 days a week. I could call every club owner. You don't know how I do it, but I can't do it.
Yeah.
I know that by the fifth week, I'm on stage giving you a bullshit show. I'm going to yell at a heckler that used that on yell at.
Yeah.
You know.
You're the one that convinced me to cancel my Sunday shows. Always. Now I do it. Now I do it either Thursday or Sunday. Sometimes it's easier for me to stay with the girls, you know, on Thursday if I'm coming in late. But
Girls would love to have you. But the girls remember Sunday dinner. There's nothing like Sunday dinner in the American culture. Nothing like it. Nothing like Sunday dinner in the American culture.
I got to ask you something.
And we spit at it. And then when everything goes sour, we sit there, I don't know what happened. We've disrespected our own culture. Sunday is, that's it. Listen, I'm not doing the midnight show. I got shit to do in the morning. When I get there, my kids don't understand that I made the midnight show. They don't understand that I work and that this is provided. They don't understand that concept.
Yeah.
You know what they understand? Daddy wasn't there on Sunday. That's all. And this is what I know from blowing a marriage and blowing a relationship and blowing a relationship with my child. I'm not talking out of my ass. And this is what I've seen over the years through other comics. Because there's no woman, as much as she loves their kids, when you're calling her going, I'm in Beirut dancing with a bunch of Hebe girls, and she's at home at an art class with fucking Isla getting thrown fucking M&Ms to the fucking neck. You understand me? And you're telling her, how much can a woman tolerate that? How long will you tolerate that at home? You know, I'm in Puerto Rico with three natives drinking pina coladas. Wait till you see me on Trip Tank. And here I am at home with...
Shit, I'm gonna piss myself.
Where's fucking what's his name? Where's Tony Bennett? Memorial Day weekend, guys.
You're the only person I swear to God, Joe, you're the only person I know that can take me from really, really listening to laughing hard as fuck.
It's tremendous, guys. Who's better than you?
Are we leaving?
No.
Okay.
We ain't going nowhere. We're here. We're drinking wine. You got the Uber, right?
I got Uber.
You want to smoke another joint?
No. Fuck no, man. No, no, no.
What, you all right? You want a piece of edible? That edible was 6,000 milligrams.
Jesus.
It's the second one.
That's the second one we
went. Do you ever... No, I really want to know this. Do you ever go like, I'm too fucked up from your edibles? Ever? Does that thought ever cross your mind?
Happens every day.
Every day?
But ask him what he does when that happens.
I wake up, I brush off, and I go back and get the lion that bit me.
And you take another one.
But I take a few days off and I regroup. And I
do sweat. You really?
When I go to acupuncture, she cleans my adrenals out. She cleans my gallbladder. And that's where the THC develops. It sits there like a glue.
Uh-huh.
So when I go to her, before I
Yours must be like fucking oil sludge. Oh, like,
but I've been running this.
Like ExxonMobil.
Let me tell you what happened. I've been running this machine for so long, I can't stop this motherfucker now. The body's got this glue everywhere.
Yeah.
And now you just got to learn how to maintain it. You can't let it cross over into the danger zone. I got to keep it like Tom Cruise before he got the Scientology.
Do you ever get tired of fucking hanging out after the shows?
Yes.
I can't believe your stamina for that.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. You're the one that brought that up to me, though. Like, I just...
Because I'm like you in this sense, is that I'm like, let's go back to the... I want to go back to the room. You know what I mean? Like, after the show.
I was
shocked.
You're
a fucking all-nighter.
Yeah, I spend the night with this. I tell everyone, if you come to my late show, I'll hang out with you.
I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you don't get just tired.
I used to do it, too, guys. I used to do it. I can't lie.
Yeah, you... Because I see both... I said to you...
Yeah.
I can't believe you don't do it.
No.
Because I when I go done it, get done my second show... My first show, I sell shirts or whatever and books. And then I go back to the green room and chill for a sec. And then after the late show, I go out to the bar. I tell everyone. But, man, I don't have... This is going to sound massively insecure, but I didn't have the security in my material that you may have, that both of you have. Because I always felt like the only reason I was there is because I sold drinks. You know, because I was because well, no, but the truth is, when I first started headlining, I heard Pete. As a matter of fact, Pete is exactly who said. He goes, you know, man, you got a big drinking crowd. That's good for a club owner because Pete was kind of guy
that moved drinks,
and he's like, you move drinks, and I was like, yeah. And then Dave Attell randomly said to me, you can't count in Miami one weekend. He goes, you can't count on the club owner watching your set. You cannot count on the club owner knowing good comedy. What you can count on is that the club owner knows how much booze you sold. And you sell a lot of booze, and you'll fucking keep working.
Yeah.
And that's always been my MO. So in a weird way, and I remember Tony Baldino telling me in Chicago, he goes, nothing for nothing, but when you hang out Saturday night, I get like an extra $4,000. And he's like, it's not a lot, but it just adds to your weekend of sales. Makes you a better comic. I tell you that all over the country. Tell them to hang out for an extra hour. So I always tell people
but
to hang out.
But then you're like, I'm having a drink on stage, so that moves booze too, right?
Oh, well, like, but yeah, I drink on stage. Usually I do a shot or I pound a beer on, when I get on stage. But that's the deceptive thing, not to like let the canary out of the mine. But like, I only have one beer when I on my first show.
And then
I'll have a one beer on my second show, and maybe a couple shots. Maybe I don't know. Who knows,
dude? I'll be honest with you. I'm kind of in a way jealous of it, like because I sometimes will be like, all right, I'll have a drink with you guys, and literally 8 seconds in, I'm like, I got to get out of here.
Oh, really?
Because I feel like if they're waiting for me to be entertaining, I'm not going to entertain them.
But we're different dudes.
Of course.
But we're different dudes. Like me, you, and Joey are the same guy.
Yeah.
But we're all very different. Like, yeah. Joey's very honest. I'm not very honest. I'm really not. You guys know me pretty well.
This is honest
not,
right now?
Yeah, I'm not honest right now. But I'm not very honest. Like if Joey said, Bert, tell me what dot is, I'd be like, I don't like confrontation. Like, most of the times when I hang out with Joey, and I'm being dead serious, I kind of listen to Joey and let him tell me. Like, remember when we first hung out that whole month? Like, I kind of did therapy with you, but I would tell you things, and I'd listen to you very honestly. Like, but I would never confront anyone. You don't have a problem with confrontation, nor does Joey.
I have less of a problem with confrontation than you do.
Yeah.
I'm not as comfortable with it as Joey.
Joey has no problem telling you what's wrong.
I was always very polite.
No, yeah, you're
something
not, yeah.
Happened the other night that I feel really bad about.
What?
And I told Lee what happened. I don't know how. And I felt bad because I know it's going to come back to bite me in the ass. It always does in life. It's the second show Saturday. We just take pictures with everybody. Hugging, you know,
yeah.
The whole thing. And then me and Lee are like, oh, let's go for a walk. And I call Lee, and Lee's at the buffet with Talking Lair.
Who?
A friend of ours,
the security guy,
the main man, and they're hanging out, and I'm sitting there by myself waiting for him, and I'm watching. I'm at the sports book. Am I drinking? Not at all.
Yeah.
I think I have a water, and I'm watching whatever is coming up on the sports book. I'm watching pieces of the UFC. Mm-hmm. I'm watching the baseball game, and you know, like when you're just, I don't know how to say this, when you're just in a fucking, you're
in a zone.
What do Gentiles call it? When I'm
Gentiles.
Decompressing.
Yeah, decompressing. Yeah.
I was just decompressing after the show.
Winding down.
And you don't know where your mind is at. Your mind is nowhere.
And that is a great, the best feeling. The only thing that is a true pleasure to comics is decompressing after a show. It's so great.
So in the middle of my decompression, a guy comes up to me and goes, hey, you're the comic, man. I was going to go see you, but I didn't know who you were. Right? And, nice to meet you, sir. Yeah, you know, maybe come tomorrow night. It's a 7:30 show. I'll put you on the list. Yeah, but why should I come anyway? It says you in the movie Grudge Match. That's a really shitty movie, but I don't have to tell you. You were there. I mean, I'm a boxing writer, and as a boxing writer, I mean, De Niro should have been beat up, and I'm sitting there, all right, you know. And he goes, so his wife is in the midst. She's like laughing, like giggling at, like, my husband is so witty.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm sitting there, guys. I'm 52. Okay? I've heard it all, and I've eaten a lot of shit in my life. And I made a promise when I got clean off coke, I wasn't going to eat shit no more. At no level, whether I was in Hollywood on a set, an agent, a director, I'm done. They're fucking thieves without guns. I was a thief with a gun. I don't have respect for a thief without a fucking gun. So this guy gets close, and he goes, you know, that's my biggest problem with comedians, that whenever I bump into them and I talk to them, they're not funny. You know, he goes, I've been sitting here for 8 minutes, and you haven't said one funny thing to me. And I look at him straight in the face, guys, and I go, why don't you take a fucking walk? Take a fucking hike. He thought it was a joke. He's like, oh. And his wife and like, you know, I don't have to go any. And I'm like, take a fucking walk, guy. I'm sitting here minding my own business. I ain't bothering nobody. I just did a show. I just took pictures. I'm just sitting here minding my own business. You got to come and insult me. You know what he says to me? He goes, I can basically do whatever I want. And he starts giggling again. And I go, do me a favor. Because he started, like, protecting himself, like, just talking, just trying to talk himself after the whole. And I wasn't even having it, guys. There was no apology. Listen, take your bullshit somewhere else. And I told him, take a fucking hike. And he stopped me. He goes, are you serious? And I go, get the fuck out of here. And he looked at his wife like I was a Martian, and they just walked away. I didn't want confrontation.
Fuck that.
What is that? Yeah, now, what is that confrontation?
No.
I don't know if that's confrontation.
But you feel badly about that?
he was older than I was. I was raised to respect people with white hair.
No, that guy's an asshole.
I just and then I thought about the Joe Rogan thing 10 years ago. That guy's an asshole. Old people are assholes that grew old. Yeah. I thought about that right away, and that made me feel a lot better. But that's not the school of thought I was raised.
No, you didn't do anything wrong.
You shouldn't feel that.
Now, was that confrontation?
That's confrontation, yes, but it's not. It's like.
You got any cheese left in there? Anything?
No.
You got a couple of grapes. Like I'm Julius Caesar.
I don't care. See, Joey, I don't lose my head over that. No, I'm good. I lose my head over when I talk shit to people when I'm drunk and I know there's probably a camera on me.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, like that happened at the Mall of America.
Yeah.
The guy was like, I hit the button. They closed the hotel at 12. And they closed the hotel.
Uh-huh.
And so I hit the button and the guy goes, are you handicapped? And I was like, what? And he's like, are you handicapped? I was like, no. He was like, then I can't let you in. I was like, oh, never mind. I'm handicapped. But I did this whole spiel about being handicapped and then having a blind guy in a wheelchair with me.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, because the speaker thing was here. So I was like bending down to do the speaker voice. And I came around the corner and the guy was like, were you the guy with the handicapped guys? I was like, yeah, have you seen them? And then he was like, we have video cameras, man. And I was like, fuck. I totally Britt McHenry'd myself.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that's what I think of. I don't think about those moments. Like, those moments, you're not being a dick. You were nice to the guy. You were gracious to the guy for a while. Yeah. The guy was an asshole. He's a cunt. All his friends will say he's a cunt. That's how it works.
The reason why my mom died was the heart thing.
Yeah. But
really, inside was her heart broke. Because my mother was a very generous person. She was raised like a gypsy. My mother knew that if she made $100 and she came in the room right now, she was only supposed to walk out of his room with 50. In her world, that was my mom's world. Yeah. And I was raised like that, to spread money. It's not about you. I get a little money extra. Cut fucking Lee in. Cut you in. That's the school. And you do the same.
Yeah.
But people don't think that way. So you end up getting fucked. And then when you need money, they don't call you back, even though you paid for their fucking kid's dental bill and shit, whatever. And I think the same way, and I don't know how the fuck you guys do it. I tell you what bill kills me. There's a bill that's called the manager's bill, that I'm a Cuban Jew at heart, okay? I'll pay my agent whatever I owe him. If he gets a great job, I give him extra. But that 15% of the manager's shit has always killed me, especially when they just call you with a date, like when they call you and go, I got more dates from Gersh for you. Hey, grab your pen, and you're like, what? You know, I tried to tell them you needed more money, but they wouldn't budge. You tried to tell them, you fucking cocksucker. That's the bill that's always paid me. Or the bill where I'm paying you for the same job you're doing. And all of a sudden, wait a second.
What's paying going for a phone call.
Yeah, I'm paying for a phone call. I don't like that. There was times when the number was okay, so I paid it. Because sometimes it's just good to have you around.
Yeah.
Let me give you the 10 points just to give you a little taste of what it's like. But they don't appreciate it anyway. So the other day I got a call and some guy says to me, hey, I got an offer for Josh Wolf. What do you want to do? And I go, not for nothing. You're not theatrical. He goes, yeah, but they sent me the offer. I go, no. That's theatrical. And somewhere on the line, that guy is going to go home, and he's going to see that, and he's going to go, where's my 10?
Yeah.
And I'm going to have to pay him 10. And I hung up, and I felt bad the rest of the day. Is that confrontational? Where I come from, that's telling people. But in L.A., when you do that, you get on the fucking shit side.
L.A.'s a weird place. People don't like talking to you in their face, I think, you know?
Yeah. You have to check people. You have to stand up for yourself. If not, bro, they'll rape you to fucking death in this town.
You learn that, though, man.
They'll rape you to death, and sometimes you accept it. When I was doing that blow, when I was telling you guys about the blow, it wasn't the blow that was killing me. It was what it was doing to my spirit. I was letting things go because, you know what? If I yell at Bert, the cops are going to come, and I'm not going to be able to do that package I have tonight at the house. And who gives a fuck if Bert humiliates me as long as I can go take that package? You know, that's how I thought about agents and people in the industry. And when I stopped doing the blow, that was the thing that got me past it, that if I stop doing this blow, I'm going to act how I was raised to act.
So that's how you act now.
When somebody steps out of line, just a fucking fraction, I got to nail them.
Yeah.
Because I don't want it to grow. I'd rather not even let it fucking grow, because in my world, that shit festers in me. And then one day, it's like when people send me text messages.
Okay. I've never sent you one.
It's like when people, and I tell, like Ralphie had a thing about leaving me messages. And I go, Ralphie, what's the story with the 8-minute message? Coco, you know, there's no need for it. I kept telling him and telling him and telling him. And one day he caught me after I just got cut off by an Asian guy. So what happens? Now it's your fucking bad day. Now I pass it on. And people are like, what the fuck? How are you talking to me like that? I warned you 10 times. Not to leave me a message.
Yeah.
And you kept doing it. Today's my bad day. Now you're going to get
I've been dumped. Yelled at twice by Joey for being on an
thread
email
messages.
Thread. No, oh, but I didn't start the thread.
That don't just, matter. Don't follow that, it, that, cocksucker.
And he yelled at
go
me
to the
a
bathroom.
Lot.
So we can, go to the bathroom. I'll give some shout-outs. And we'll move this captain along here. Let's give some shout-outs.
Are we? Is the show over?
No,
how
no,
long
no,
have we
no,
done?
No, 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 no. We're doing what we're doing.
I don't even know how long we've been on.
We've been on for however. Fuck it. Let me give some shout-out. Main shout-out goes to my main motherfucking Vegas, Mr. Talking Lair, running fucking security this weekend. Also, big shout-out to my man Matt Baltasar, always there for us. Lyricist for Hire, Bobby Sharon and Crystal, Greg and my fucking, Greg and the Asian Princess up there in Seattle. Laura Cobain, Keith McCabe, Jordan Lee, you bad motherfucker, and my man Andrew Southern, guys. I love you cocksuckers. So it was funny when we came in here tonight. Yesterday I got an email when I woke up. It was the 10th anniversary of the release of The Longest Yard, the one I was in. That fucking, right? Is it May 25th? Does it say it? Yeah, that was Labor Day weekend. So it was funny. It was on last night on TBS. And then today I was talking to Lee and I told him to put it on the beginning of it. And that's where we're at. So I don't know if you guys give a fuck. I really don't. I want to give a shout out to my
Give a
main
shout
man.
Out to that store we went to.
Which one? Oh, yeah. Sunset Herbal. Sunset Herbal. Let me give a shout out to my man.
Oh, can I give some shout outs?
Yeah, give a shout out.
I want to give a shout out to the top. Never mind. Never mind. I just realized what I was doing. New podcasts are out. Felipe Esparza, Owen Benjamin, and Jason Ellis this week. That's already up there. Go get them. Jason Ellis had just released it today. It's a fucking amazing podcast. You ever talk to Jason Ellis, Joey?
I was on there one time.
Yeah. Yeah.
I had a really good time with Lee this weekend in Vegas. I was talking about it when I walked in here that sometimes you forget.
How much longer are we going to podcast? I can podcast for a while. I don't
who the fuck knows?
I got
10 minutes. Relax.
He's got a fucking long day
tomorrow.
Well, how bad is your day compared to mine?
It's probably bad.
Why? What do you got to do?
He's going to shoot the pilots. He's going to prepare.
For who?
He couldn't do it. For fucking True TV.
Come on, man. I got a pilot with fucking History Channel.
This guy's.
No.
This guy's the next fucking Seinfeld. Leave him alone. Why are you picking on him for? You know what I'm saying? I had a really good time. You ever do something, Bert?
Yeah.
And I forgot about this quality of life. You ever do something with the girls and they have such a good time?
Yeah.
That no matter what's going on in your world, just seeing them have a good time makes your dick hard. Like, you're like, this is amazing.
I know. Euphemistically, I know what you're saying.
And it's funny to see
Lee. I jump on the trampoline to get my dick.
It's funny to see Lee in Las Vegas how, I mean, he couldn't wait to get to the buffet. Like, he just couldn't wait. He had buffet tickets.
So, wait, you taking Lee with you on the road?
No. I just took him to Vegas because I wanted to tape the sets, and I know he enjoys it. What's the difference? They're going to give you a room anyway. He drives out. He has a good time. You know, it's called making somebody's weekend. You know what I'm saying? Like, what the fuck? I got a room. It's not like I'm to Switzerland. He goes out, you know. So I go, Lee, you want to go to Vegas? He can't. And it's weird. I ask him because I forget about the fun normal people have.
Yeah.
Like, I'm damaged goods. I got damaged by the blow. Everything around my life early on at Lee's age was surrounded by getting my dick sucked and doing blow. Nothing had become fun. You know what I'm saying? I could stay in a closet with an Asian chick just doing blow and fucking. And to me, that was the best thing. You guys could come to me and tell me how you went to an art exhibit.
I would rather have done that, though.
What? No, you wouldn't have, cocksucker. You would have got scared and cried.
And you would have never fit in a closet,
Lee. The fucking Asian chick had a big clip.
It had to be a walk-in closet with tons of shoes.
But it's so funny how much fun I had watching him gamble. And
it's like a child.
Eat fucking. We had the best strawberry shortcake, like New York style, like old school. That was just sensational.
Lee's got a blessed life.
Lee's a funny guy.
He was eyeing the strawberry shortcake the entire weekend. Every time we'd walk by, he'd look at it. He'd talk to the baker about it.
How much do you love that? How much do you love what you do, for real?
That's the best thing ever. Well, I don't know what's going on with the mics.
He has a good time, man. And it's funny when you...
No, it's so cool. I'm saying I love to hear that somebody loves... You love it, right?
Hell yeah.
Yeah, it's the best.
It's got to be... You know, in a weird way, it's like... I know you... I don't have to... I'll speak for you, Tommy. But like... I know that we both feel blessed to know Joey.
Oh, 100%.
But we're blessed feel like, to know you guys. But in a weird way, we feel like we've earned the right to know Joey.
Yeah.
Like I'm
blessed
always,
to know
always,
you guys.
No,
man.
I always feel like... Like, I don't feel like... like, I always... One of my favorite you stories is when you call one night and you go, what are you doing? And I was like, nothing. I'm sitting in the front yard with the girls. And you go, I'll be over at 5. And you and Terry and Mercy came over, and all the girls were in the front yard, and me were sitting on Adirondacks, and I thought, and I was like, I'm really lucky to have this moment, like a fan. But then I went, in my head, I remember thinking, he's my friend. Like, because I wanted to take a picture of it, because that was so cool, and Instagram it, like a fan would do.
Yeah.
But then I was like, oh, this is my friend, I guess I shouldn't do that. You know, like, I should just hang out with him. But it was so fun that our kids were playing together, and my daughters love watching her. And so, I feel like Tom and I, like I'm lucky to know Tom, but I feel like I've earned the right to be his friend. I feel like I've earned the right to be your friend. It's got to be great to be Lee, who kind of came from out of nowhere, and all of a sudden is like it's accepted 100%. I get a kick out of Lee, like when he gets high and he starts laughing for no reason at all. It makes me laugh hard as fucking shit. Like when you said he had two boys, and Lee lost it.
And
we all got along.
Except they didn't at all.
Yeah, I felt that. I knew that thing. Like, where I felt it with you too. Where like, because I opened, I would MC shows that you were on. So it's like, oh, I know this guy, but like, can I call him like a peer? It takes like years to get to that point. You know what I mean?
And then you saw me get slapped in the face, and you were like,
I was like, this guy's a bitch, man. No, but then with Joey, too, I met Joey, and I was like, it's like a fucking tornado of a human being, right?
Yeah.
And then I go,
please.
Like, I can listen, but, like, can I call? Like, it took a while to be like, yeah, like, earn the right to, like, call somebody, right?
Or
like,
yeah.
You're kind of, like, intimidated and / like, impressed by them. So you're like,
I got fucked over by a cow. Nah, I shouldn't say fucked over. I was just like, are you leaving, Lee?
No, he's putting the air on.
Two comics kind of like used me to get something for themselves, and I felt very used. I never felt like that in a very long time.
They did what?
It's not even that bad. I made more of it than it really is because I was drunk when it happened. But they used me to get information, and I got fucking pissed. Where's the top part of his body?
Yeah, well, that's when he gets hurt. That's when he comes back. Look. This is for your fact.
Look at his face. Look at him. Watch out. The TV's moving. The TV.
Fucking hilarious, guys.
You're the best.
I feel the same. I feel... Listen, I'm part of the younger thing. You know, I'm older. You guys are younger. So
I never ever felt like... I never feel like you're 52.
No,
I feel like you're 42
I love it. I love the fact that we're all... You know, I got into this because I read a book. What pushed me over the hill was the Lenny Bruce book. And I really, really believed that I was going crossing over. This is what I believed in my heart, guys. I really believed that I was crossing over from being a criminal to joining like a biker gang. Like when I became a comedian, I thought I was joining like a secret society. Okay, this is what I really believed. And I thought that we really had each other's backs. I thought that this was the end all be all.
Yeah.
And then you go on the road and you meet some dicks at some of those Yoda rooms and some of those Tribble rooms.
I just almost sucked that. I'm opening another bottle of wine. How soon are you leaving, Bunce?
I'm leaving. I got it. I really do have to go. I don't want to go.
Why? Why are you fucking... He's cracking open a bottle of wine. Where are you going? Another 10 minutes.
Ten minutes.
What the fuck?
And you meet a bunch... You do what I do.
And you meet a bunch of dicks and then you come to L.A. and I was blessed to meet... I go to the Comedy Store and meet Duncan and Joe Rogan and Ari and... And I had this faith. And all of a sudden when that thing went down with Carlos and Joe and what happened at the Comedy Store, everything went away. I saw a comic for what he was. You know, a comic tries to approach you sometimes. They don't have the best intentions.
Yeah.
And that's what always sticks out in my head is how they didn't say, you know what, you shouldn't throw Joe out. We're going to back it. They caved. That always fucked with me a little
bit.
Mm-hmm.
So that broke the... It's like for me, it was like becoming Sammy the Bull Gravano without ratting. It broke my spirit when I realized it was all about money. And that's it. You know, when you realize it, that's when I hate comedy, is when it becomes about money. my fun times when I could call Segura and you and go, hey, man, meet me at that pizza parlor. Let's go down and do 15 minutes apiece.
Dude.
And we fucking giggle and we get high and we talk to people and we take pictures. I don't have to sell T-shirts. I don't have to do nothing.
Yeah.
I can just be myself. It's when you're counting heads and this guy robbed you last time. That's when it becomes a chore.
It's like you can make $1 million a year as a comic, but I either respect you or I don't respect you. That's the truth.
That's definitely the truth.
I don't give a fuck. That's
the best part about comedy, though. The best part about comedy within comics is that you don't hold comics to the standard that society does, which is how successful are you on paper. You hold it differently because you either respect that person or you don't. It has nothing to do with their income.
Yeah, and there are guys that don't make $1 million out of respect.
Of course.
There's guys, most of the guys I respect don't make $1 million.
Yeah.
The guys that make $1 million, sometimes they're the first ones you disrespect. You're like, nah, I don't like the way you came about
that. I respect
the
open micers now because I know how hard it is for them now. I feel bad for feature acts now.
Dude, I feel feature act for feature acts is the most least. You like, know. And you know what? I wish I.
You take care of them now more?
I only started. I shouldn't talk like that, but I only started tipping people because you said to.
Really?
I never tipped a feature act in my life.
I used to get 500.
Sometimes I forget. The only reason I don't tip is because I forget sometimes.
No, I know. Yeah.
But like usually I'll tip the wait staff $100 at the end of the week.
The whole staff?
Everyone get $10. Because I don't know how to do it.
Yeah, sure.
But I don't know who's waited on me or who's got me drinks. And then and then usually I'll give whoever's featuring for me like $200. It's not a lot of money, but
I'm not
making a dick load of money.
No, but you're helping out. That's what I just try to. I don't go like crazy. I figure you
pay for a little bit for the flight or whatever.
I've just started doing stuff. You know,
where I make a ton of money. It's interesting. I used to think that the money would grow exponentially, but I think my money's. I don't know. Now I'm going to shit on myself, but I think my money's past my talent. I feel like I don't know. I'm not like you though, man. We're different people. You believe more in yourself than I believe in myself.
Come on.
Nope.
That's not true.
I promise you that 100%.
That I believe more in myself.
I've had more conversations with your wife where I know who you are more than I know who I am. 100%. You believe more in yourself than I believe in myself. 100%.
Where do you see your shortcoming? Because I see you as
somebody.
We shouldn't
do this on a podcast. We should just talk on the phone.
This is a great podcast.
No. You believe in your worth more than I believe in my worth. Like if someone said to me, in all honesty, if someone said to me, man, we'll have to get into a dollar number to prove this. But I know for a fact that you believe that you can go out and do rock clubs and you'll sell them out. I would never believe that myself. Yeah, I just would assume I'd get there and no one would be there. Well, I would never, never believe that. I don't believe in myself at all.
Yeah, but I had the same panic thought before the show.
Right.
And then you get there and it's all right. And you're like, oh, cool. Like, yeah, it worked out.
I would have never done that.
But you could do it.
I could, but I still would never do it because I'd rather a club fucking four wall it for me.
I got it.
And know that there will be people there for me to perform in front of. Like, I don't know, man. I think it's generational a little bit. I think that you grew up in a time where punk rock's the wrong way to say it because that's not what it is.
Right.
But like entrepreneurial stand up where you looked at like both of you guys were ahead of the podcast game.
I'm going to ask you a question, not to intervene.
Shoot.
So how long have you been doing comedy for?
16 years.
Okay. I want you to rate from 1 to 10 the first 7 years of your comedy career. How hard did you work? The truth.
7 years?
Think about the same.
I worked a lot harder than I worked. No.
How hard did you work? How many nights did you go home and you could feel you? It was like a girl cheating on you. How bad?
I'm going to give me a 7 only because I believe I'm an 8, but I would never say that about myself.
Did you think, you ever have a girl cheat on you? You ever been in love and a girl cheat on you? You know what that feels like?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Is that the feeling you had when you wanted to be that good in comedy? Did you ever get that frustrated?
No, of course, yeah.
When you're fifth or sixth year, then you should always value your worth. I didn't do a lot of things. I didn't go to Montreal. I didn't do Letterman. I haven't taped an HBO special or special at all. But I know one thing in my career, I worked.
Yeah.
I fucking worked. I've been on buses. I was telling Lee, I used to take a bus from here to El Paso as a feature act. Then from El Paso to New Hampshire.
What?
Take the Southwest. That was the cheapest flight available. You forget Logan. I would go into New Hampshire, and then I would work Boston, take a bus to Maine. From Maine, take a bus to Syracuse. Syracuse, Rochester, yeah. Buffalo. Yeah. That's when you, before 9/11, you could go into Toronto. I would sneak in through the casino and then take a bus to Ontario and work that place for $800 a week to headline. You had to stay there for 2 weeks and sleep with the creepy uncle in his house, and he drove porn. I told him he drove fucking hookers at night, the retarded brother. You have no fucking idea. Taking buses between Rochester, then coming over and going all the way to New York and doing Rascals and doing the city clubs and getting fucking bombing, and then taking a bus to D.C. Improv and getting fired because the headliner wanted a clean feature, and then taking the bus to Myrtle Beach, then getting a flight on like fucking Spirit Airlines for $2 to Miami and doing the improv for 2 weeks and then doing Uncle Fucking Funnies when it was in.
Well, Funnies.
That was a dump. That Boca? Fucking hole. What was the name of it?
In Boca.
No, no, no. Uncle Funnies was Dorfman's first club.
I thought it was in Boca.
No, it was right outside where the Dolphins practice. Where do the Dolphins practice? In that facility right there. But that was the roughest week ever. And then he had the other one in West Palm Beach where I got high with the chick from Night Court. And he fired me. Dorfman told me I couldn't work that club no more. And he spread the rumor that I was doing blow. And it was because I
the
brought...
The rumor?
Yeah. The Fuma, whatever the fuck it was.
Davis?
Huh?
Davis, Florida?
Davy, Florida.
Davy, Florida. Davy, Florida. Jackass.
What the fuck you think you're dealing with? Some novice guys? I would bust it everywhere, and I would call Yoda the whole time. Going,
I've never done a Yoda room.
You have a fallout.
I kind of want to do a documentary.
You have a fallout. You have a fallout. And I would take buses to Michigan, inside Indiana, Wisconsin. I worked for that guy when he'd pay you with the gun on the table in Minneapolis.
Milwaukee.
Milwaukee. That
oh,
fucking
I know
jerk
who you're talking
off.
About.
J.D.
J.D.
Man.
From the fucking biker gang.
Why would he have a gun on the table?
Oh, my
he
God.
He was a gangster,
how did
man.
You handle the gun on the table guy?
I handle people going on the tables.
Joey,
that's what I'm
Joey,
saying.
Yeah.
You're Joey Diaz.
I didn't even
wait,
look
did
at
you
it.
Work for him?
No, I never worked for him.
I worked for
tons
JD.
Of the story.
You heard my story, right?
There was two people who put guns out. Him and the jerk off
from
New
Chicago.
Mexico.
No, the guy from Chicago.
Which one?
Grant. Brant.
Oh, he put that
Brant
gun?
Used to put a gun on the table for him.
Riddles? Fuck.
Riddles. And he put
that
a gun on the table.
Was a check bouncing motherfucker.
And then he said to me one time, he goes, what do you want? Cash or check? And I went, oh. In my head, I thought it was more certified. We had a check. I go, check, definitely check. And Leanne goes, why the fuck would you get a check? Get cash.
I know
this check's going to fucking bounce.
It bounced.
Yeah, it bounced.
It bounced.
Or no, maybe it maybe didn't. I don't remember. But
I think Caparulo's bounced, and that was the beginning of the end.
What were we just talking about?
The guys with guns.
JD's. So we go into JD's. Is the Jameson Comedy Tour. And it's me, Steve Byrne, Danny Bevins, and Billy Gardell. And the second we roll in, I'm closing the show because I'm the loudest of the group. And so JD says, I don't know, that guy's not closing. Billy Gardell's closing. And Billy is the guy, for you guys that don't know, is the guy on Billy Gardell. He's on Mike and Molly. He's Mike, not Molly. And so he's like, yeah, don't worry. Bert will close the show. He says, no, I don't know who Bert is. You're closing the show. He fucking hated my guts until the very end of the night last week. Someone said he was in the outlaw biker gangs.
Right.
JD's had a stroke, I think.
Yeah, he died. He's in bad shape.
He's in bad shape. Yeah, he's a good guy. I liked him. So we go out to the thing, and I said, so JD, you're an outlaw, huh? Which you don't say to a biker. And he goes, excuse me? I said, you're the biker gang. Outlaw? Like, I'm being such a fucking guy in a movie.
Yeah,
you're in the biker gang. The outlaws?
You're the square guy.
And he was like, what do you know about the outlaws? I said, my dad represented them in Florida. I said, Slowpoke and Lefty? And JD goes, you're Al Kreischer's kid.
What?
I swear to you. And he goes, are you fucking kidding me? God damn it. We come in the office. You be that little kid. That's you? I said, yeah, in Tampa. There's a bunch of guys that got arrested in Jacksonville on this big case. My dad represented them. And my dad would talk about the fucking biker gang. And I remember the names.
Your dad knows some unsavory shit about these guys. For sure.
And this guy went, are you fucking... And he started bringing motherfuckers over. I remember it was snowing because he had an Escalade. Do you remember that? And it was always clean as fuck. And he's like, come on over. He goes, this is, his dad was a lawyer for the fucking Outlaws. And I remember, and then all of a sudden, next week, I got an offer to do a weekend there. $1,300. It was $1,300 for like fucking seven shows, I want
to say. And you had to stay at that condo.
No, we stayed at a hotel. I didn't go back.
My God.
I made a bet with the bar staff that on Sunday I'd make $100 for tips and everyone. I promised them. And I said, if I'm wrong, you guys all have to get naked on stage. But if I'm right, I'll get naked on stage and you can take a picture with me. and I was wrong. They didn't make $100. And JD goes, take your fucking clothes off. And I was like, it was like a joke bet, JD. I was trying to raise their tips. And he was like, take your fucking clothes off. So again, there's a picture of me naked on stage with everyone from Joker something, whatever it was called.
Comedy Club. What was
it? I don't know. I don't fucking know. So what are we worried about?
That's how I value. That's when
Tom, don't get no. Why?
That's when I feel. Listen, brother. Good luck to you.
Thank you, brother.
Let us know what time it starts, Tom. What time? What night? When is this pilot premiere?
No, I'm just going to shoot it. So I don't.
What's the premise?
It's about me and Christina.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah.
Is it like scripted?
Yeah. Should be fun.
Nice.
Yeah.
You know, for months people started hitting me up, going, "What do you know about it?" I didn't even know.
Yeah.
And then somebody told me, True TV, listen, man, you paid your dues. You deserve it.
Thanks, buddy.
I ain't mad at you. Go get your fucking paper, cocksucker.
Tom Segura, it's your mom's house. Christina's podcast is...
That's Deep Bro. Yeah.
That's Deep Bro's rated higher than your mom's house. You know that, right?
No.
Yeah, always.
Really?
Your mom... That's Deep Bro is one of the highest rated comedy podcasts.
It's a great one.
I've had people that don't do my podcast say how great that podcast is.
You know what is really funny? We'll do the podcast live, Your Mom's House Live.
Yeah.
And people will come up to us and I'll be like, how's it going? Thanks for coming. They're like, I really like That's Deep Bro more. I'll be like, thanks a lot, man. And then they'll be like, we came out kind of hoping to see that. I'm like, we didn't advertise that. Like, you're telling me how disappointed you are?
Yeah.
Like, you wanted to see a different movie? Like, it's...
So, wait,
told you what you were
be
saying.
Honest. When was the last time you guys 69'd?
69?
I'm gonna be honest. I know that it was... I'm going to say 6 years, at least 6 years.
No, it's not that long.
69'd.
Yeah, it's not that long. No, it's been a while, but not that long.
The sex position?
69, yeah.
Why are you asking personal shit with his wife? What's the matter with you?
He's fucking Bert.
Because we were talking about 69. Look, you were talking about 69 and earlier.
Here's what's important, man.
What?
June 11th, I'm at Stand Up Live in Phoenix.
Oh, shit.
Are you?
Yeah, and June 13th.
Are you going in to do...
just one show.
One night.
What night?
Savage. Huh? June 11th.
June 11th, Thursday.
It's a Thursday.
Okay. Are you going in to do press that morning?
No, I'm just flying in that day and doing the show.
Do press that morning. Do that.
You think so?
KPWD. KUD. I'm fucking the name up, but do it. It's such a great show.
No, I've done it. I love that
show. Yeah, it's a great fucking show.
And Calgary, June 13th. Two shows at the Laugh Shop.
Jim Jeffries' family is from Calgary. He's on my podcast next week.
I love fucking... Is he doing it?
I already did it. I did it with him today.
Oh, you got to tell me about the tour bus thing. I want to hear about it.
I'm going to do a tour.
Take Lee with you. Do me a favor. Take him with you.
You guys are the best.
I love you, Tom. Thank you. Give my best to your wife. Good luck with this fucking thing.
Thanks, brother.
You don't want to start a go?
No.
You going to shave the beard for the fucking pilot?
One of us has to pick the beard because we look too similar.
Like Sehan and shit.
What?
Whose keys are those?
Lee's.
The Lee's are right. No, that's the problem. I bumped into Slash one night, like in 98. Joe took me to Riviera, and it was for the Dirty Show, and I bumped into Slash. I saw him at the airport, and then I saw him walking around in the afternoon. I went up to my room. It was my first time in Vegas to do comedy. I couldn't sleep. I went walking around, and there he was at the bar by himself. And I went over and said hello and told him that he was at one of my shows at the Union one night with Paulie Shore. And
the Union, I remember the
And
Union.
He started talking to me, and... I asked him what happened to the singer. And he goes, can I ask you a personal question? How are you doing with comedy right now? Are you doing well? I go, I'm not doing good at all. I just moved here. I've been the pilot, but whatever. I'm still getting $15 a spot. He goes, these are going to be the best times of your life.
Yeah.
You're going to remember these times. This is what matters. Always savor this, because later on when you make money, you're going to question it. That's what happened to the singer. He started questioning, and all of a sudden he started looking for spiritual answers and why he did what he's doing, and he really believed, you know, sometimes, is my mic on or is it low? Put it a little louder, my mic. Sometimes, man, you see it.
Yeah, like the other night, mic up,
I love Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah.
Is he Johnny Carson? Fuck no. Is he Dave Letterman? Fuck no. But it's 2015, yeah. And he puts something different. You know, he does sketches and he sings with people, and he does kind of cute stuff sometimes, yeah, that even I tolerate, and I'm not a half a fucking fruitcake. I tolerate. I'm like, you know what? I see where he's coming from as a comic.
Yeah.
I still remember him going into the improv with a guitar. He had that fucking manager lady that was a savage 15 years ago in L.A.
Yeah.
That chick got him from point A to point B like that. I still remember him doing sets at the improv, coming in with the guitar Jimmy Fallon. Anyway.
I never saw that.
So this is 97, 98, yeah, and I never saw him again. And then he had Sting on there. Now, my personal opinion of Sting, I love music, but he's a fucking skunt.
Skunt?
He broke apart one of the greatest bands.
The Police is a fucking amazing band.
But he's such an ego. He's such a fucking cunt ego that it leaks out of his pores.
Yeah.
Me, I get it, so I gave him the benefit of the doubt. He's such an ego that he even killed Jimmy Fallon's touch. Like, Jimmy Fallon even felt insecure. You could see it. I had to go down and hang out with you guys at the casino. I was really, that's, I don't know what my point is, but that's how much of a fucking kiss of death he was. Like, that ego will kill you.
Yeah.
That's a little too much ego.
Yeah.
But that's why I don't, when I get a residual check from Spider-Man 2 and it's 14 grand, I got two options. I go question how the fuck I got this and snort a bunch of blow and start crying and walk around like the guy from Nirvana, or I could just suck it in and move forward.
Have you seen that documentary?
Yes, I have. Shocking.
Yeah, but did we talk about that already?
No, but I saw you tweeted something.
Yeah. Montage of Heck. It's fucking insane. It's, you know, you forget just exactly how good Nirvana was.
Tremendous.
Amazing. Kurt Cobain was amazing with just fucking hardcore riffs with great vocals. Great vocals, great lyrics. Amazing. And Dave Grohl was the quintessential drummer of that time.
Didn't say shit.
Oh, it was fucking amazing, man. And that when you watch him like nodding out on heroin, breaks your heart. It breaks your heart. You go, God damn it, man. I've never been there with my kids.
I can see it. I still remember Guns N' Roses winning the Grammys and being fucking just glee, just gone. Falling all over themselves, smoking cigarettes, nodding and shit.
At the Grammys?
At the Grammys. Fuck all these clean acts, new kids on the block with haircuts and shit. These motherfuckers were fucked up. You'd sit there and you'd go, wow, that's amazing. Now, can they handle it? Guess what? They're still here.
Yeah.
Aerosmith, can they handle it? Guess what? They're still here. You know? Led Zeppelin, you know, half of them are fucking gone.
I introduced Georgia to the Monkees today.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Here we come.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Like, and Georgia was like, I don't get it. And I was like, God damn it. This is the first iteration of the boy band. This is the first example of, like, producer makes the boys who sing the songs that they write, and then they try to get power, and then they kill it. And it was a TV show, and I was like, George, I don't know if I can tell you about this. This is too deep. Like, this is, and I literally was sitting there. I partied pretty hard last night, and so I was like sitting on the couch with her. We were cuddling and watching it, and I was like, baby, this is next level. Like, I don't know what to tell you about this. I go, just enjoy it for what it is.
You ever look at your children and see their future?
Yeah, it's
here we come.
Got the funniest love song anyone could mean.
Hey, we're the Monkees.
This is one of the first things I saw out of Cuba.
The Monkees?
When I came to the country, this is what was popular on TV. Yeah. This, the Green Hornet.
Hey, I'm doing Felipe's podcast tomorrow. Are you going to do it with me?
No, I got 1,000 things to do tomorrow.
I want to do a podcast with you and Felipe.
I'm waiting for this answer right now from this guy. He just texted me now to see if I can meet him tomorrow. You ever look at your kids and kind of in a way see their future?
I do. I do with Isla. I don't with Georgia. I don't know what Georgia's going to do, but I can see Isla's not going the right path. I can see it.
Why do you say that?
You know Isla.
No, Isla's just a free, beautiful child.
She's a free, beautiful child that's going to end up a drummer in a fucking lesbian band, or like, just like, she's not going to be like a doctor or lawyer. Like, she, you know, I just don't see her taking the conventional path. I think what she respects in life is not what the average child respects in life. You know,
which is good.
Like today, we were my hands were all painted because Isla bought these spray paints that go on shirts. She wants to make shirts for me of animals. That she'll draw a stencil from the animal and then she wants to make shirts. But she's only 8. Like it's like a entrepreneurial angle for her. But she didn't know that you can make money of it. She just knows that she wants to do it. So she made these owl shirts with the letter B in the center of the owl. It looked so badass. I was like, how are you doing this? And then she would just like, really like, do you remember like Bob Ross? Do you remember that guy? That painter, Bob Ross, that would be like, with the afro, they'd be like,
yeah,
we'll put a little squirrel
in
the corner. Ida would just take a fucking, like there was this black one she did that had an owl in the center on a gray shirt and had the letter B in the center of the owl in like stencil. And then she just took the color blue and sprayed it all over. And it looked badass. And I was like, fuck, that's not a regular brain. That's her brain. I can't fuck with that brain. And I don't want to fuck with it. But also part of me wants to go, hey, make sure that brain is taken care of in case the artistry doesn't come out. I don't want her to be addicted to, you know, fucking pills or heroin or coke.
No. As long as you give her love, she's not going to have any doubts.
She's like you, Joey. Like you, you're one of those guys that you and her are very similar. And I've said this for a long time to you, I think. But like, she loves hard. She doesn't love like on the peripheral. You either know she fucking likes you or she doesn't like you. You know, like you're one of those people that my dad loves. But my dad doesn't love a lot of people, but he knew that you respected him and that you had love for him. And so in a weird way, you guys connected. And so it's like that's like Isla. She's like that.
Now I love him more. I didn't know he was that type of lawyer.
Yeah.
That's a heavy type of lawyer.
Yeah.
It takes a heavy person to be that. My secret dream, if I ever get reincarnated, I want to come back as a top-notch attorney. I'm talking to a top-notch attorney, defense.
Yeah.
3 or 4 huge clients that keep you on a retainer, and you just fucking are their mouthpiece for life. Listen, it's going to cost you, but you call me at 5 in the morning, I'm tiptoed Magoo. I'm right there with you banging it out in the fucking jail.
Yeah.
That's the kind of, because I saw it. I saw that kind of representation to my mother. Sam DeLuca was the best attorney I ever saw in my life growing up. And he represented fucking killers. And he kept them aside. He drank at their bars. He drank alongside with them.
Yeah.
And it takes a certain demeanor to have that, to have people like that respect you. Because after a while, they'll say, fuck this guy. We'll stiff him.
Yeah.
You got to keep them paying you. An attorney is a very weird occupation. It's not what people think on paper. For you to be a good fucking attorney, you got to know how to cross the line.
You would have been a great attorney. Back.
Oh, I know I would have. I love it.
Been a great attorney.
My dick gets hard thinking about it.
I could have never done the work to get there, though.
The work would have been hard, but once you get that work down and you start... Listen, man, they pay you to find loopholes. That's a great job, which is something I'm bad at. But by doing, working that muscle, you get better at it.
Yeah.
By doing math and working that muscle, maybe a little fucking jiu-jitsu to get your mind thinking.
You've been doing jiu-jitsu a lot lately, huh?
I'm fucking terrible. It's amazing.
I'm so glad I came by tonight.
Yeah, me too.
I was kissing the girls goodnight, and
I saw you call. Yeah, but
and I went, oh, I missed this call. And then my Periscope came up, and it's Joey Diaz Live. And did you know this? And then I saw you getting high before the show, and I went, Where's Joey at? In my head, I was like, I know we're right near each other. Where I'll go run over there. And then you were like, Tom Segura's coming over. And I was like, oh, fuck. We had talked about that. I was like, the podcast. So I called you up. I go, hey, can I still come over? And I kissed the girls tonight, and I just got in an Uber and came
thank
over.
Thank you.
I was like, God, I'm fucking so glad I did. This is such
prepared,
a great night.
You came with ammunition.
I brought booze. I'm not going
to lie. Did you Uber it?
I Ubered. I always Ubered.
Well, look at you.
Yeah.
You Ubered, Lisa? Yeah.
No. Joey's not a huge fan of Uber.
Sure, oh, really?
I am. Not for you to Uber, because I want you to be mentally tough. You don't need to Uber. You're a fucking Ani Mali.
Oh, my God.
What happened?
Lee, how long have we been doing a podcast?
This one?
Yeah.
We're almost at 300 episodes.
No.
No, the time.
Right now?
Yeah.
We're 2.5 hours. We're going to shut off here in about 10 minutes. What do you think, guys?
I've had a fucking blast.
Oh, me too. This is.
I really have, man. I'm so blessed to have you in my life, Joe.
Oh, really?
153.
Yeah, this is, listen, man, a podcast is basically tapping into a good conversation. It shouldn't be forced. It should be very generic. The podcast I enjoy is just generic conversations.
Yeah.
You can tell when you put a comedian on, he's trying to overdo it. Just talk, you know.
I told you, man, I really regret not reaching out to people I don't know more. Felipe was probably, and I, other than meeting you, was the realest person I've ever met. Like, when I remember when I met you, the first words you said were, "Dog, you ever break into a chick's house and eat her pussy on a quaalude?" And I fucking fell apart. You're like, "Lucy Snowbush." And that is the fucking, I remember saying to Joe that night, we were sitting outside the thing, I go, "That's the realest fucking guy I've ever met in my life. Like, I feel like a phony standing next to him because everything he says is so genuine." And Joe's like, "Dude, it's Joey Diaz. That's next level." Like, I mean, that's not his exact words, but, and then meeting Felipe, I was blown away. I was like, and he was like, "Oh, I'm good friends with Coco." Like, it just, and I really love that in people. And that's what podcast brings out to me, is real motherfuckers that would have never gotten a voice. You know what I mean? Like, you can't be you on morning radio.
No. I try. Comedy, I was telling Joe and I was talking to Ari, and if you're a fucking idiot if you don't know this, comedy's at an all-time high.
Yeah.
People are going out every night to watch comedy. People have, we're like, it's back. It's back in full motion. You know, it really fucking is back. What are you doing over there, Lee? Is that an
just listening?
No. This is what's happened for a long time. For a long time, people would sit at home and they'd only see the comics that they see on Comedy Central. And that's great. There's some great comics on Comedy Central, but there's also some fucking shitty ones. But that's where America thought it ended. And all of a sudden, this thing, social media popped up and YouTube popped up. Now you can look up these comedians. Now feature acts have a fan base. You know? And what the fuck are we talking about here, Lee?
I don't know.
So,
I think we're all on a...
Now what's happening is you're introduced to comics you would have never met before. So for all this time, you've been meeting these comics that you think are goody-goody-good-two-shoes, and all of a sudden this new brand of comedy comes.
Yeah.
That some of them, are like Joe Rogan, who's very intelligent and very profound, and he smokes pot, and he does fucking TRT, whatever the fuck he knows about fighting. you get all these different comics spilling their heart out to you. So it makes you love them. So it makes you see comics that you wouldn't usually see. Like myself, Comedy Central would never dream of putting me on. Felipe, the general has fallen in love with comics that you wouldn't see generally because of the internet.
That's the best part of comedy.
That's the best part of comedy.
Why would you ever want a guy who fucking just knows what the market wants to buy, resaturates the market with what it's already purchasing? I mean, I don't mean to be a cunt, but like, I feel like a lot of comedy is like that. A lot of comedy is guys who know what the market purchases, and they simply repackage what the market purchases. And then you get guys like you and Felipe. I'll say four very different names. You, Felipe, are so authentic that no one's doing that. No one's doing that ever anywhere. You can't find it.
Everybody wants a TV show.
Yeah.
Nobody wants you to really know. I had this horrible thought, guys. I had this horrible thought. I just told my wife on the way out, and I'll share it with you guys. I love Lisa Ayette. Lisa Ayette's like my little brother. I love D'Agostino. But I look at a lot of people who are under 20, under 30, in that mid-range. There's two different types of world. One thing I have appreciated from the lesson I've learned with myself in the comedy is then I also learned that with music. Now I believe that we maybe didn't hear the best music that was out there.
Yeah.
There was maybe a lot better music, but maybe somebody didn't like them. Maybe they fucked somebody's wife. Maybe they did something. Maybe they spoke up for themselves, and they didn't get a chance. So now I've been listening to more independent label music. When people send me CDs now, I sit down and listen, and I've been learning.
Yeah.
This has opened up my eyes also, I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. But mainstream, more comics like myself that you wouldn't see are going mainstream. And it's great because you're not just exposed to what the fuck the media is pushing
the
down
real,
your throat.
The real fun is hearing someone live a life that's different than yours. I don't want to hear about it. I'm not shitting on anyone. I don't want to even do material that sounds resembling of me shitting on them. But like, I don't want to hear about a guy talking about what chicks sound like when you hit on them. We get that. We've all lived that life. I want to see something accentuated. I want to see Ernest Hemingway. I want to see a fucking Gatsby. I want to know someone that lives something different than me. I don't know. That's what I dig about what's out there right now in the market. I don't know. I'm pretty fucked up, too.
Do you think on like a long enough timeline, if you just kept at it, everyone would have some sort of success? Whether it's just like selling out or having
a
show?
It depends what you look at as success.
Right.
I've been going to jiu-jitsu for 2 fucking years. I am horrible. I am horrible. But because of jiu-jitsu, it has made me more aware of my body, and I'm trying to get healthier and stronger and in shape.
Your body's in, you're much healthier.
Yeah, so success is what? Some people's success is going to a bar and buying everybody drinks and getting your dick sucked. That's some people's answer to success.
Yeah.
Some people just want to, listen, man, no matter how you look at it, comedy became more important to me than doing crime and than doing drugs.
Yeah.
It took me 15 years or whatever it took me to realize that, hey, there's comics that aren't better than me. They just have help or whatever the fuck they have. I'm making these strides while I'm a coke addict. Can you imagine the strides I'd make if I was overcoked? If I didn't do coke, now my energy had somewhere else to explore and go somewhere else with my mind.
Yeah, you, but your path, your journey is where what it is. Like there's no the, like I don't no one can do what you're doing. I don't not to sound like too.
I feel fucking against you. I think everybody can do what they're doing.
No, nobody is consistent.
Nobody wants to be consistent. Nobody wants to do anything past 62 days. Nobody, if you take a fucking poll in this country of what happens, I see it at home with my wife. I see it at home with my wife, and she's going to get the karma of that when my daughter gets old. When I tell my wife, hey, do this, leave this door shut because this is going to happen, and I come back a week and a half later and it's open, and she thinks I just meant it for 3 days. You know, every morning, today I got up at 4 in the morning. My flight was at 7:35. I got up at 4 in the morning, just out of myself. I got in the shower. I came out. I ordered breakfast. I was packed already. I tried to write, not jokes, but about my day and about my journey for the week and how great Vegas was. In the process of all this, I go, holy shit, it's Monday morning. I got to post 3 videos. I got to do the morning joint. Nobody was on Twitter, but I did it because it's consistency. That's what I do on Monday mornings. You know how long I've been doing that, Lee? How long have I been doing that pathetic thing with the same fucking songs and the same stupid fucking little...
Since I've known you.
Okay, 3 years.
Four years.
And even though it's stupid, and even though whatever, how many comics get up every morning and tell you to have a great day?
Very few.
That goes a long way in my world.
No one, I don't think.
So, consistency is everything. I believe that if you stick with something long enough... Even if you don't become a Hollywood star or you don't become a world champion at it, you will get a different lesson out of it. That you will go into the next level of your life in peace. If you, Jimmy Schubert does a great saying. What's it? His father told him, don't cut the shrib. Never give somebody a short shriv or something. It means to always give 100%. To always give 100%. Even when you don't think nobody's looking for, always give 100%. And that's the only way you'll be in peace when you move on to the next level of your life.
Yeah.
And with that, let me give a shout out to the sponsors. I'm going to get the fuck out of here.
Hey guys, you get all new Bertcasts this week. I'm in DC. I'm fucking Joey. You do this to me. I turn into this like fucking malleable piece of jello when I'm around you. Good. And I'm
well, hold on 1 second. Let me talk about Anand here. Maybe you should take some fucking shroom tech. Maybe you should take some fucking complete earth-grown nootropics with alpha GPC and AC-11. 90 capsules. This is one of the best products on the market to get your fucking head together because it all starts at your fucking head, cocksucker, and then it moves on. That's what Onnit does to you. Go to Onnit.com right now and look at the exceptional fucking inventory they have of fucking nootropics, lootropics. They got everything. They got new mood.
Battle
they got
ropes.
Shroom tank. They got battle ropes. The only thing I can't get you 10% off on the action gear, I get you 10% off on the supplements. Go to Onnit.com. Look at the fine line of stuff.
Try their new mood.
The new mood is tremendous.
Listen, I never jump in on an ad, but I will say wholeheartedly, Joey knows this, I have a problem with anxiety and OCD. The fucking new mood, that 5-HTP, that works. It really does work. If you're a guy that obsesses about shit because someone said something to you at work and then you can't stop, or you said something drunk at a party, try that 5-HTP. It works.
There you go. That's a fucking, what do you call those, editorials?
Testimonials.
Testimonials, same fucking difference. Go to Onnit.com right now and press in.
Church.
Boom! and get 10% off your order and just stay on it. You can get on the Stay On It plan where they'll deliver on it to your fucking door every month on the month, okay? That's how we rode here. How about a big shout out to my people at Hit E-Cigs right now, putting a tremendous special for you. 5-pack, 2 cigars, 2 cigarettes, whatever the fuck you want.
Oh, you gave me one of those cigars last time I was here.
$50 fucking. You can't beat this thing. 1,200 guaranteed puffs. They ain't fucking around. You understand me? They're not fucking around. When you go to all these 7-Elevens with those ISIS cigarettes, they only have like 400-300 puffs. Fucking this shit.
ISIS cigarettes?
Yeah. Hit E-Cigs, they fucking take you to the next level, cocksucker. Go to HitE6.com and press in.
Joey's Church.
Boom, and get 5 Hit E-Cigs for $50. That's $10 a piece. You'll be smoking fucking electronics to the end of time.
Don't support
I love
ISIS.
You, cocksucker. Number 2, Iron Dragon TV. You had a great Memorial weekend, but you burnt through your fucking Netflix catalog. It's time to switch Roku, bitch, and go see my man Dave Foley over there at IronDragonTV.com. Classic martial art films right there in your house at the fucking control of your fingertips. Everything you like. What do they got? Jet Li?
Yeah, Jackie Chan.
Doom Koon.
You sure?
They got everybody.
Touchy Hero.
Everything. They ain't fucking around. Go to Iron Dragon TV and get 2 free films on Joey Diaz right now. Tell them I sent you. Go to Iron Dragon TV and press in.
Joey.
Boom! In the box. And get 2 free classic martial art films right now on your television set. And you're sitting there. What am I going to smoke tonight, Joey? You're going to go to NailedItLife.com for the best vapor pen on the market. You understand me? Fully guaranteed. You have a problem with it? You call fucking Dave. This week I was smoking my vapor pen at the airport today.
Is this the one you told me about?
Yeah. And the thing was fucking...
Shut up. Stop. Just get
did you smoke it?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Did you smoke it? It was pretty good. I smoked that dab at the airport today. I got fucked up. But the thing was
you
loose.
You did what?
But the thing was fucking loose already. If that happens with one of Dave's pens, I called Dave that nailed it life. I got a pen delivered to my house within 24 hours. Go check out nailedlife.com. All the great products they have for dabbers. If you're dabbing and that's your world, they are the fucking kings of it. They make a gummy bear called Los Gummies Hermanos, which will fuck you up. 250 milligrams of a hash oil. You need a license to get one, though. If you live somewhere where there's no license, don't ask, you dumb motherfucker. We can't mail it to you. Another shout out to Nailed It Life. Another shout out to Iron Dragon TV. Another shout out to Hit E-Cigs. And a tremendous shout out to Honor.com. And to Bert Kreischer for coming this weekend.
God bless you, Joey.
Also, you bad motherfuckers, on Saturday night, One Stop Shop, Uncle Joey, Oklahoma City, at the lab, at the university. That's right, Uncle Joey's coming to Oklahoma City. Put the fucking horse away. I'm coming with a big dick and some Vaseline. And then the week after that, the Denver Comedy Works. All you pot smokers, I'm coming to fucking town. You better get ready. I'll be doing jumping jacks. By the time I get there, I'll be under 300. So I'm going to smoke pot like a motherfucker and eat green chili. I'd like to thank Bert Kreischer. I'd like to thank my man Tom Segura. When's the new season started? A trick? Whatever?
Triplip. Triplip. June 2nd
June
on Travel
2nd,
Channel
on Travel
at 8 p.m.
And the thoughts tonight do not express the thought of the producers or the Food Network channel. You understand me? I love you, cocksucker. Stay black. Uncle Joey loves you always. Happy Memorial Day. If you're a soldier, let's get the national anthem.
Oh, I fucking love this.
Let's get the national anthem.
Like last time, Lee. Let's.
What's up?
Like play some music of the national.
I am.
Where Joey?
I got it.
There, you know. Yeah. This is one of my favorite times I've ever had on the show. Oh, here we go.
Get up, you fucking faggots. It's America, you fuck. Soldiers died for you. And you want to walk around with a sore ass telling people you're free. You ain't free, you fuck. You're a fucking hologram. You're trying to be somebody else. It's Memorial Day, you fucking cocksuckers. Be a man. How long can you live this fucking lie? Soldiers died for you in Korea, Doom Koon, fucking Vietnam, Germany, fucking Hawaii. Soldiers have died for you, motherfuckers. And you cocksuckers are walking around acting like half a fags, thinking you can do what the fuck you want to do. The party's over, you fuck. ISIS is knocking on your fucking door. And who you gonna cry to when you cut that fucking haircut off that you paid $90 to? You're gonna cry to the boys of the American fucking armed forces. That's right. The Army, the Navy, the fucking Marines.
Air
who
Force.
Else? The Air Force. Force, the Coast Guard, the Boy Scouts. It all starts right there, you motherfuckers.
Yes!
Get up tomorrow. Be a fucking man. gets tired of living a lie, you're a fucking American. If not, move to fucking Sudan or to some region and switch governments, you miserable motherfucker. Be an American. Thank you. Good night.
Rest in peace.
Rest in peace.
Rest in peace, Danny Dan Murr.
I love you, cocksuckers.
Rest in peace, Dan Murr.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I'm so glad I came over.
Fuck yeah. You know how we do it, though.
God damn.
All right.
Are you done recording?
My mic's still on. I have to do the ads. Go to onnit.com and use code word church to get 10% off their great optimization products like Alpha Brain, New Mood, Shroom Tech Immune, and Shroom Tech Sport. What's up, buddy?
What's with the questions? Keep pitching.
Okay. Go to irondragontv.com, a brand new Roku channel with all of your favorite martial art movies. Tai Chi Hero, Jackie Chan, the leader in 4K technology. It's Joey. You get two free rentals.
Pisser.
Okay. It's to the left. Okay. Go to nailedatlife.com, also makers of Los Cumis Hermanos. And, okay, Los Cumis Hermanos, premier vapor pen on the market for all the oil and wax smokers out there. Use code word Joey Diaz to get 20% off. And go to hitesigs.com. And right now they're running a mix-it match pack. You get a 5 hit E6 for $50. He's using code word Joey's Church. Mm-hmm.